resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
To AM 1320 KCTC, Sacramento's Left Channel. Streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Mark Knoller, live at the White House. A day after his party suffered a body blow in the midterm elections, President Bush announced that Donald Rumsfeld would be stepping down as defense secretary.
Don Rumsfeld has been a superb leader during a time of change. Yet he also appreciates the value of bringing in a fresh perspective during a critical period in this war.
And that new perspective belongs to former CIA Director Robert Gates, who, if confirmed by the Senate, will take over at the Pentagon. But Mr. Bush urged those on the front lines in Iraq not to misread the change.
To our enemies, do not be joyful. Do not confuse the workings of our democracies with a lack of will.
At a news conference, the president said he'd work with Democrats but wouldn't pull out of Iraq before the U.S. mission is accomplished. And he admitted his surprise at the thumping the GOP took at the polls.
Actually, I thought we were going to do fine yesterday. Shows what I know.
Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller. With more CBS News, here's Harley Carnes.
What's the reaction among the troops and their commanders to the ouster of Donald Rumsfeld? CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says hopefully Robert Gates will have an open ear.
There was a lot of people who criticized the secretary for his somewhat unwillingness even to listen to those who had ideas that were somewhat contrary to assumptions he had at hand.
For anti-war activists like Nancy Lesson, that military families speak out, it isn't about Rumsfeld.
Whether there's somebody in Rumsfeld's seat named Gates or anybody else, the issue is the war itself, and the war needs to end.
Sectarian violence in Iraq today killed more than 60 people. Sunnis firing mortars hit a soccer field full of kids in the Sadr City slums. Comedian Bill Cosby settled a lawsuit from a woman who claims he sexually assaulted her.
Details of the settlement are being kept confidential, but a statement from the attorney says the two sides have resolved their differences. The woman accused Cosby of drugging her, then sexually assaulting her inside his suburban Philadelphia mansion in 2004. Philadelphia attorney George Beatty, who is not connected to the case, says going to trial would have been risky.
The plaintiff may get nothing at all, and personal details about her life could be aired for all the world to see.
The woman went to police about a year after the encounter, but Montgomery County prosecutors declined to file criminal charges. Brad Siegel for CBS News, Philadelphia.
Another health study supports the Atkins diet. Low-carb, high-fat diets, even when eaten for years, do not raise the risk of heart disease. This study followed thousands of women over two decades. It's the kind of carbs and fats that seem to matter. Women who got their carbs from refined sugars and processed foods nearly doubled their risk of heart disease. Women on Atkins-style diets saw their heart disease risks go down about 30%. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 20 points to close at 12,176, the NASDAQ up about 9. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Coming soon to a bookstore near you, the Pope's Calendar. Just don't be expecting beefcake.
Benedict is soon to become the first pope to publish a photo calendar featuring shots of himself posing for each month of the year. The 79-year-old leader of the Catholic Church was snapped in 14 different poses for a calendar which will be distributed with one of Italy's best-selling Catholic weeklies. Proceeds from the photos of the Pope will go to a mission in Rwanda. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
For people who have macular degeneration, generation or are concerned about it, listen up. Scientists have shown it is possible to transplant photoreceptors. Now that is huge stuff. Scientists gave blind mice their sight back by transplanting light-sensitive cells into their degenerated retinas. Scientists say humans could be getting retinal cell transplants within a decade. Harley Carnes.
It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Probably gonna start a fight. No, this can't be right. Hey, baby, come on. Loved you endlessly. You weren't set for me. So now it's time to leave and make it alone. I know that I can't take no more. It ain't no lie. I wanna see you out that door, baby.
That door slam you on the behind as you are walking out the door. Bye-bye. 3:06, 6 minutes after 3 o'clock. Welcome to hour one of the post-election edition of Enid Live. I am yours tonight until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. And I hope you were with us last night when we buckled up our seatbelts for the political ride of a couple of decades worth, it looks like, because it was a gorgeous day to begin anew yesterday, and today is also a gorgeous day to savor the victory. We didn't win everything. There are some things that we didn't win. We're kind of sad about those things. But on the whole, I think the country has spoken, and they have spoken loudly and clearly, and oh my God, adios to Rumsfeld. Bye-bye. Goodbye to you. And Dick Cheney, I want to say something. Do you recall last week or the week before, when in that Senate race, which is still under review, it is the one question mark in the Senate. Well, there are two question marks, but you know what? This is the Virginia race. This is Senator Mikakowicz here. His opponent, Webb, had a highly decorated soldier, but has written fiction, and some of the fiction was a little bit on the raunchy side. And so, of course, the Republicans were touting that fiction on the raunchy side. But Lynn Cheney, who has written about 9 books, in her official bio, she only lists about 6 of them. And some of her books deal with lesbian sex. Can you imagine? So she is being interviewed by Wolf Blitzer on CNN. And she is going to town big time on Webb, Mikakowicz's opponent, and how he's written some raunchy fiction and what a bad guy he is. And then Wolf Blitzer tries to nail her down, but not too hard, on her own steamy lesbian sex scenes in the fiction that she has written. And she really smacks him down. It's a slap down. And later we read reports that they're laughing about it in the Cheney household, that it's a smack down, a slap down of CNN and of Wolf Blitzer. Well, I would say that what happened yesterday at the polls is a big slap down of what has been going on in this administration, big time. And since it finally became clear that Rummy and Dick Cheney have been dancing in each other's arms for 30 or 40 years together, even as recently as a couple of weeks ago, maybe even more recently than that, Dickie says he's not saying goodbye to either one of them. They're both terrific. And today, it's adios, Rummy. And you know who had a heads up on this? Sally Quinn. In the Washington Post, she's married to legendary editor of the Washington Post, Ben Bradley. She thought that after the election, Rummy might go, that his function had been to serve as a pinata. Well, there's a lot that's being reported on the Rumsfeld exit, and we will get there. But I want to talk first about what has been happening locally and the races locally and when we last left each other, what was going on and what the numbers are now and all that other good stuff. So let me go right to the latest set of numbers that I have. When we last left each other last night, and if I hope you were among those who tuned in and out with us or tuned in with us, joined us. Well, you know, tuned in and out, meaning that, you know, you get in your car, you go somewhere, you get out. But we had a lot of you joined us last night. We had a lot of really wonderful people who were on tap to us last night. So I thought that it was kind of an interesting evening as the whole thing unfolded. Well, here are the final numbers. Schwarzenegger, 55.8%. Angelides, 39.2%. And I think he got something like, I forget now the number, 74-75% of the registered Democrats did go for Angelides. So he did manage to pull some of that out. There are lots of Monday morning quarterbacking going on about the Angelides campaign. Lieutenant Governor, it was a squeaker at when we last left it. But John Garamendi won. We thought that he would, and he did. Attorney General Jerry Brown, there was really no contest. He won by the largest margin of anybody last night, locally, or in California. He won 56.7% to Chuck Poochigian's 37.9%. Bill Lockyer won 54.8% to Claude Parrish's 37%. Our girl, Deborah Bowen, took it home last night, 48.5% to Bruce McPherson's 44.7%. You know what I should have said to her? Here you are, Senator. Senator Bowen, you're running to be the thing that women have tried to run away from for the last couple of decades. You're going to be a secretary again. And she is, Secretary of State. Controller John Chang, our guy, he won rather handily, 50.9% to Tony Strickland's 40%. Insurance Commissioner Steve Poizner, we knew he'd win. Cruz lost rather heavily. Poizner won 50.6% to Cruz Bustamante's 38.9%. Arnold is saying in today's paper, headline in the B, I love doing sequels. Well, he has really, you know, Scott Fitzgerald, the writer, said that there are no second acts in American life, and he has really reinvented himself. We talked last night to Dan Schnur, who's always delicious to talk to. He's so wickedly delicious. He's a Republican analyst, and he's worked on a lot of big Republican campaigns through the years. And he had a coattail, an Arnold Schwarzenegger coattail index, that if the numbers were, you know, higher past a certain point, that means that on the down ballot races, you know, races for lieutenant governor and for treasurer and for secretary of state and so on, those would more likely go to Republicans. But I don't think it looked that way. It looked like that Arnold had no coattails on this one. He scored a 16.6-point victory last night over Phil Angelides. According to Morning Returns, it is clearly a landslide, but smaller than the 20-point margin of victory that Democrat Gray Davis enjoyed in 1998 over, guess who, Dan Lundgren. Oh, God. The state lineup for California is Democratic, with the exception of two GOP moderates, Schwarzenegger and Poizner. And the last numbers I saw for Bill Durston were something like Lundgren ahead by 60-something to 30-something. I don't know if we have anything updated beyond that, but that is what those were the last numbers. And actually, those were close to the first numbers we saw. So I don't know if the gap narrowed very much between last night and this morning. But still, 30-some percent of the vote for somebody who's doesn't have the name recognition of Dan Lundgren, is not the incumbent, hasn't been in politics for the last 5,000 years. I really think that's quite good, and I think Bill Durston should be proud of what he has been able to accomplish. And he has certainly galvanized the conversation, and I felt kind of bad that I told him what the numbers were last night, and he didn't know, and you could sort of almost hear them being deflated. You know, there's a kind of deflating effect when you hear numbers that are, you know, not so perky. But here it is, the final numbers. Bill Durston, 38.1%. Dan Lundgren, 59.2%. So what do we want to say? For a first, I think it's Durston's first time out. And if that's the case, that's pretty, I think Durston can congratulate himself. That's what I would say. 349-1320. Oh, I forgot to tell you what the numbers are, didn't I? 349-1320. 866-626-1320. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and we stream live 1320 leftchannel.com. The race that we were really looking at, and the one that we were pinning our hopes on, was the Charlie Brown Doolittle race. And, well, here it is. Phil Angelides got 74% of Democrats. So I was right there. And I wanted to also share this with you. The 50th Congressional District, this one I was kind of interested in. This is Brian Bilbray, who won the special election when they hauled Duke Cunningham off to the pokey. It was very, very close. And there was a big scandal last time because some of the e-voting machines, electronic voting machines, were stored in poll workers' homes with no supervision, so there was no chain of custody there, and there was a lot of there were a lot of questions about that and whether anything had been tampered. He is now under investigation, and he ran against the same candidate, Francine Busby, only this time, instead of squeaking by with just a tiny percentage of the votes, he squeaked by with almost 10%, 53.3% to her 43.4%. So he is under investigation for where he declares his address for purposes of running for office and for purposes of voting and where he actually lives. But he took that election 53.3 to Francine Busby. She's a Democrat, 43.4%. And that means he goes back to Congress, but it doesn't matter because the Democrats now are in charge of Congress, and it looks like they might have retaken the Senate. There are a couple of dicey races, and we will talk about that. We'll also talk about why everybody thinks it fell apart for Phil Angelides. We'll discuss that. And I refuse to give up hope for Charlie Brown, although I think there probably isn't any hope. I was talking to our own Charlie Weiss, and I was saying, you know, have they counted all the absentee ballots? That race was very close, and some of the numbers I have, I will share with you here. The tight races, and we congratulate Jerry McNerney. We had him on last night. He joined us. They called in. He is now the new representative for the 11th Congressional District. He unseated Richard Pombo. We knew that maybe things were going to be a little bit rough for Charlie, and we knew that for a couple of reasons. We knew it because Bill Clinton came to stump on behalf of Jerry McNerney, but he didn't come to stump on behalf of Charlie Brown. He did do a robocall for Charlie, but he didn't stump on his behalf. So they must have known something. Now, the numbers I have, we did a little bit of quick math, and the numbers we have is that Charlie lost to Doolittle by 3.6%, that it was a vote total of 7,285, something like that. Let's say 7,300 votes. That Charlie lost to Doolittle by 3.6%. And that it was about 7,300 votes. Now, remember all of you who called in to say, look at all the Charlie Brown signs. We don't see any Doolittle signs. I said, you really can't go by that because his roots are so deep in the 4th Congressional District, and deep they were. The Los Angeles Times reporting, Representative John Doolittle retained his congressional seat last night against Democratic challenger Charlie Brown. Doolittle benefited from an 18-point registration advantage for Republicans in his rural Northern California district, and he ran as an aggressive, focused campaign. Doolittle received 49.3% of the vote compared to 45.7% for Brown. So those numbers are slightly off from the math that we did from the Secretary of State. The Los Angeles Times is giving us a little bit of a different profile than we got earlier from the Secretary of State's website. So if you go by the LA Times to 45.7, what do we have? Oh, no, we do. We have the same thing. We have about three. It looks like, yes, it's the same thing, 3.6%. Suddenly it didn't look right. So 3.6% is the difference. The result means that Doolittle likely will face a Republican challenger in the primary in 2 years. And I'm guessing I hope it's Charlie again, because I think Charlie will take it. If Doolittle doesn't get hauled off to the pokey in the next 2 years, and there is no special election, I hope that Charlie Brown will stand up to the plate again, because then I think he can hit a home run. In the Bay Area, Central Valley, Republican Representative Richard Pombo was unseated by wind power consultant Jerry McNerney, who captured 53.2% of the vote compared to 46.8% for Pombo. How did McNerney unseat the powerful Pombo? Asked the Los Angeles Times. And the Stockton Record reports the following. What they said was, McNerney never quit. He mortgaged his house, he dropped everything, and he set his career on hold for 2 years to campaign for Pombo's seat. He hired a staff skilled in running grassroots, ground-level campaigns, and he tapped progressives from Manteca to Maine for more than $1 million in small checks, enough to offset Pombo's advantage with Washington, D.C.-based political action committees. And McNerney was not without friends. A slew of environmental groups led by Defenders of Wildlife, the Sierra Club, and the League of Conservation Voters kept up a constant attack on Pombo's environmental record for more than a year. It worked. Dozens of voters interviewed by the Stockton Record from last week through Tuesday said they were upset with Pombo's drive to open more of America to oil drilling, sell public land to mining companies, and overhaul the Endangered Species Act. So Jerry McNerney mortgaged his home. I refuse to give up hope for Charlie, although I don't think there is any hope. We're hoping that all the absentee ballots hadn't been counted. But apparently, if there are any provisional or absentee ballots to be counted, I don't think it'll probably make a big difference. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Randy in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Randy.
Yes, if you really want to know what the people were thinking in this election, I believe you need to look at the state ballots, the initiatives and stuff. That, to me, that tells you what people are really thinking across the country. For example, overall, it was like a big vote for not gay marriage, the no tax on the oil industry. It's what the people are really thinking.
Well, it's nice that the Republicans have tried to plant you on my program, Randy, but you know you're wrong about that. What the people are also really thinking in the state of California is they don't want their medical marijuana tampered with. In a lot of jurisdictions, that was the lowest priority crime, and those were ballot issues to make it the lowest priority kinds of crimes. So what the people were also saying in the state of California is they wanted an infrastructure package. That's what they were saying. 349-1320-866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the post-election edition, the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Well, hallelujah. The traffic is just nice on this hump day. Westbound 50, it's a little slow. We have a two-car crash. Northbound, let's see. Wow, wait a minute. Power Inn Road, just north of Florin Road, that's it? Two-car crash. Oh, and Howland Avenue and El Camino Avenue. People, I have not mentioned Fruit Ridge Road one time. Maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that will jinx it. I'm not going to, actually. Forget I said that.
This is Al Franken, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. It's full frontal radio.
Jamba Juice.
About gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is. Riding on the bus with poor people. New rule. Call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
On the post-election Wednesday edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7. Were you with us last night? I hope you were. We had lots of fun. And I hope we brought you a lot of good information. We certainly tried to do that. We had an array of guests on, including Lou DeBose, who has a brand new book out about Dick Cheney. He has written widely about George W. Bush because he has worked with him and observed him, and he's written with Molly Ivins about Bush. Bushwhacked was one of the books. We had Dan Schnur on, who is a Republican, analyst is what he calls himself now, and you had we had a whole bunch of people, Bev Harris from blackboxvoting.org and Will Durst, the political comedian, on, and we had lots of people calling in from the various campaigns. Jerry McNerney called in last night. Deborah Bowen called in last night. So I guess if you call in, it's a lucky moment for you because they both won. The two races in California were sad that we didn't win. We're sad we didn't win the governorship of California, that Democrats didn't win that race. We are very sad in California that Charlie Brown didn't win. The percentages are Charlie Brown 45.7 to John Doolittle 49.3. It was very, very close. A squeaker. We sort of thought that that's what would happen, but we were hoping that it wasn't going to happen that way. Nationally, Democrats did brilliantly. Isn't this amazing? What are your thoughts about this, the postmortem, as we're talking about these various races and what they mean and what we can look forward to? 349-1320-866-626-1320. Sia in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, this is Sia. Am I on?
You are. Welcome, Sia.
Okay. Hi, I'm on a cell phone and I am parked. But I've lived in El Dorado County for 27 years, and I am really impressed that I'm really impressed that Charlie Brown did so well against John Doolittle.
Well, I think it says a lot that he did, and that it's so highly gerrymandered a red district, and the numbers were so against him. I mean, the Republican registration rate is so high, the rate of registered Republicans is so high in the 4th Congressional District, that if you add up the number of registered Democrats and the decline to states, I think you still have more registered Republicans.
Right. You know, I think the Republicans were really not sure that they could win this election fairly, and so therefore they had to do dirty tricks. And so, therefore, the robo-dialing and those kind of things, that they were
the
really
robo-calling
afraid. They know how bad Doolittle is, and they were really afraid. And so they did all kinds of nasty things because they couldn't win it, honestly.
Oh, well, let me ask you this question. Do you think that there were any dirty tricks at the polls? Do you think that there was an accurate count? Did we get an honest count in a lot of jurisdictions?
No, I can't speak to that, but I can speak to being a person who was out working in the field for Charlie Brown. And that one of my partners was accosted by someone who had said that he was going to vote for Charlie, but had changed his mind and sent in his ballot already because of this, calling me over and over and over again. And, you know, that isn't the only instance. Now, that one I can say for sure was from robo-dialing. But there are other things that have happened that I suspected were from robo-dialing. So if only a small percentage of people went back over to Doolittle rather than to Charlie because of that small percentage is what tipped it.
Well, we did the math earlier, and we'll try to get the raw numbers. We were trying to get the raw numbers for you, but when we did the quick math, it was something like a difference of 7,300 votes. So 7,300 people, had they gone for, or let's say 7,301 people, had they gone for Charlie, he would. The 7,000 is not a small, you know, 7,300 is not, it's a small percentage. It winds up being 3.6%, but gosh, that's, you know, 7,300 voters.
You keep trying to tell people their vote does matter. It does matter. It really does matter.
Right.
Really, it does. So, but Ina, thank you so much for all the things you did to get people excited about this. And Charlie is in a good place. And if, you know, if Doolittle goes to jail, well, then Charlie's even in a better place. So
you're welcome. I thank you, Sia. Anybody was at the Charlie Brown party last night, the Charlie Brown celebration? What happened? Did it turn somber at a certain point when the numbers came in? Keith in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid. No, I didn't go to the party. I couldn't find my wallet, so I just stayed home. But my cousin...
You know what? The Republicans had your wallet. Good thing the election's over.
Maybe they did either that or Clinton, right? But my cousin just recently moved to this area, and she registered, and I really peer pressured her to go out and vote. And I guess they made a mistake on her registration. She lives in Rockland, and she ended up having to drive to Auburn last night to vote.
Hmm.
Have you heard any stories like that?
No, I haven't heard any stories like that. I have heard that a lot of people showed up at precincts, and they're the record of their having registered to vote wasn't there. So sometimes they were given provisional ballots. Some people fought to have a regular ballot, and they were able to prevail. But there were stories that a lot of people who have been voting in the same, have been living in the same area for decades, come to their polling place and they're told that they weren't registered.
Yeah, now my wife, who's registered and independent, she was on the inactive list, and I guess she didn't get voting information. They did spell her name wrong, but she still was able to vote.
Okay. So what are your thoughts about what has happened here, Charlie?
Well, overall, I think we won the war. We may have lost our local battle, which disappointed me, but you know, considering it was close, when you consider how strong really Republican the district is, so...
Well, I thank you very much for the call. I think it's a good day for Democrats today, and I hope, you know, when the Republicans say that they want to start working, when Dickey says wants to start working with Nancy Pelosi and the Democrat Congress, he can start by calling it the Democratic Congress. So show some respect is what I say, and be grammatically correct. I would also say that as well. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. From 85 on, everything was a no, and up to 85, it was a yes. 83 passed, which I'm sorry it did, but 1A passed, which I'm also sorry it did, but 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, so 1A is transportation fund, B is highway airport bond, C is the housing shelter fund, D, school facility bond, 1E, disaster flood bond, 83, sex offender, that passed, 84, water flood, etc., that passed, and then 85, parental notification, it did not pass, thank goodness, and it didn't, the no votes were 54.2%, the yes vote 45.8%, cigarette tax did not pass. And that was 52% on a no, 47.9% on a yes. The energy oil tax, which Clinton, Al Gore, everybody, Robert Redford, you know, everybody said to vote for, that lost, and it lost by about 9 points, 54.7 to 45.3. The educational fund, 88, did not pass. 89, campaign, you know, public financing, it lost big. The no's were 74.5. And the yeses were 25.5%. And eminent domain, which was a real Trojan horse, and it made it sound like something it actually was not, it lost. 52.5 was the no, 47.5 was the yes. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Chris in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Enid. This is Chris Johnson. I am so glad to hear you talking about Charlie Brown, and you mentioned how Bill Durston's race was close. I think Charlie was phenomenally close for a guy basically who had never run, I think, for anything. And, you know, your commentary about Doolittle, you know, I'm sad that he won, but on the other hand, maybe this whole Department of Justice thing and the FBI, the investigation will go forward, because I was thinking, well, if he lost, everybody just forget about those problems. So all we can do is hope, and maybe Charlie will get some more experience, and we're just 2 years away or less if Doolittle ends up being prosecuted.
Well, and Doolittle has been, his hands are now tied behind his back. And they're tied behind his back because it's not a Republican-dominated Congress anymore. So that's number one. And number two, his hands are tied behind his back where he's going to reach in for your wallet somewhere. Because he's under investigation by both the Department of Justice, if the Washington Post is correct, and the FBI. So the damage he can do has been mitigated somewhat.
Yes, I agree. One last comment that was kind of an interesting observation I made today is that I hadn't seen very many Doolittle signs out and around, you know, Roseville, Granite Bay area and all that. And suddenly this morning, I see a bunch of Doolittle signs right next to Charlie Brown signs. And some of the Charlie Brown signs are knocked over. I'm thinking, how did these signs just suddenly pop up so quick? They must have just thrown them up for Election Day or whatever, because it's been really quiet in terms of the yard signs for Doolittle out here.
That's why you cannot use yard signs as a barometer. They maybe are a little perky sign, but they're not, you know, they don't tell the whole tale. Chris, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626, 1320. Jamie in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, good. I had a quick question for you. The vote that went south last night, the advisory for the abortion.
The vote. I'm sorry, you broke up. Which vote are you talking about?
Yeah, the parental notification for the abortion.
Okay, the parental notification 85.
Yeah, Prop 85. I was just curious. I did hear you mention that you were glad that it didn't pass. Maybe I misinterpreted that there, because I voted for it. You know, I just thought in my perspective and views on that a lot of girls, I think, might be sent down that road if their parents weren't able or notified wise to help them.
You know, I think if you cannot legislate talking to your parents, it's always a really good thing if you can do it. But to make a law requiring it, and then to, and who knows, in some cases, these kids come out of drug-infested households. They come out of violent households. Maybe a family member, even the father, could be the abuser here. There is a story about a girl whose father found out she was pregnant. This was a Dear Abby story, and it was in California, and he beat her up. She died as a result of it. So there are some cases where you can't go to your parents. It would be preferable if you could.
Right. I understand.
But a lot of cases, and to send a kid, to send a girl, a scared teenager, an underage girl, into the judicial system to try to get a judicial waiver. I mean, where do you even start? How do they even know what to do? So they wait until it's too late, if they can even figure it out in the first place. And I wonder if any of us could figure it out right now as adults. We wouldn't,
right.
You know, you've got to start asking. So for those reasons, I'm really glad that it didn't happen.
Okay, well, that's good. I'm glad we had this discussion. I appreciate your time.
Thanks a lot, Jamie. Appreciate your call. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Danke schön, Herr Fräulein Enid Goldstein. Thank you. We've got traffic going
Goldstein.
On.
Goldstein. It would be in Germany, it would be Goldstein.
Well,
so when I'm there, they always call you Madame Goldstein.
Danke schön, Madame Goldstein. Thank you very much. Eastbound 50 just east of Cambridge. It looks like we have a three-car crash over there stopping things down. Two-car crash at Elm Avenue and Hickory Avenue. And that is blocking the lane, slowing traffic down. And we have closures, slowdowns at I-5 and J Street. 50 going over top of the mountain. That is hecka slow. And like 50 on the right-hand side, just pull over. We have a two-car crash. And by Watt Avenue. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
Hi, this is Randy Rhodes, and you're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. The only channel left.
AM 13, The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead.
See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly. Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
In movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate and then up your... New rule, no more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Post-election edition of Enid Live. Did you ride with us last night on our special election coverage? Any feedback? We'd love to have it. I hope you did. We tried to bring you a pretty complete picture and with lots of texture to it, and lots of you participated by calling in from various events, so that was good. And we had a lot of other people who joined us as well, so any comments you want to make about that, we're happy to have it, and we're happy to be here for you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. You can email me, Enid at kctc.com. We stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Oh, let me tell you, I do have some news. Frank McCourt is going to be joining us, the author, Frank McCourt, is going to be joining us live in studio on November the 16th, so that should be fun. His most recent book is Teacher Man. You remember him from Angela's Ashes, which was a bestseller. I think all of his books have been bestsellers since that one. We're talking about the pluses, the minuses. We haven't done yet a postmortem on Phil Angelides, and we're going to do that as well because Gary South wrote a kind of scathing piece in the Los Angeles Times today. And the Bee had something about why Phil's campaign failed. So we'll be talking about your thoughts on that as well. Bob and Carmichael, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Bob.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well.
I got a couple of comments.
Yeah.
One, Charlie Brown didn't lose by 7,000 plus votes. He only lost by half of that plus one. So he actually only lost by about 3,600 votes.
I had some, is that right?
He lost by 7,000.
Right.
He got half that amount plus one, he would have won.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
Number two.
So if he had had, all right, you're a smarter math person than I am. So if he had had half that but plus one, he would have won?
Yeah.
Okay.
Number two, he can take out the Jerry McNerney lost to Pombo 2 years ago.
Right.
Guess what?
He won.
So there's always 2 years later. The nice thing about running for Congress, you only have to wait 2 years to run again.
It's got to be horrible because you're in perpetual campaign mode, I think.
Well, listen, you got to go into politics. That's what you got to do.
Okay, Bob.
I grew up in a political family, so I know all about it.
You do? And you never want to do this again yourself?
No, I want no part of it.
Why? Because?
Because this requires too much effort. And I'm too old. How's that?
Okay. Well, what kind of a political family? Who? Your mom, your dad, who?
My father was part of the Daily Machine in the city of Chicago.
In Chicago?
Yes, and I also was for a while.
Doing what kind? What did your dad do? What kind of a job was it?
He was a precinct captain, and he worked for the county government.
Okay. So when you're a precinct captain, you got to round up the voters in Chicago.
And he did. He was in a very strong Democratic ward.
And you dispense favors, too, as a matter of fact.
It was so Democratic that he actually had to use a Democrat one time as a Republican judge. You couldn't find enough Republicans.
I love Chicago stories. Thank you, Bob. We appreciate your call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320, from which the phrase for vote early and often came. It came from Chicago politics. Jim, in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Enid. How are you today?
I'm good and perky as can be.
Well, the only thing I can salvage out of the Charlie Brown not getting elected is the fact that Doolittle is almost for sure going to be indicted. I mean, he took more money than anybody, the Julie Doolittle story. And I think I'd almost as soon see Doolittle in Congress when he's nailed. So I'm going to salvage that part of that.
Okay, so you have directed the movie called Doolittle Gets Hauled Off to the Pokey from sitting in Congress. That's when they come in, they put handcuffs on him, they do the perp walk, you know, and that's when they take your head and they duck it down so that you don't conk yourself what few brains you have left as you're getting into the back seat of the car, and then they and they have an orange jumpsuit which they hope will fit you, and there it is, goodbye to you. So that's the scenario you're holding out, Jim.
Well, I think it's going to happen. I think there's way too much information. I think they're squeezing a couple of guys to get a little more on Doolittle. There's not a chance he's not going to be indicted, from what I read. And so I'll see Charlie Brown again. He ran a great campaign. He's quite a gentleman. I've met him several times at fundraisers. And he's the kind of politician. Well, he's the kind of statesman we need. He's not a politician. He's a statesman.
Jim, well said. Thanks very much for calling. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Mike in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Enid. I wanted to tell you that your previous caller is correct. Doolittle is going to go down. And, in fact, my wife directed me last night not to pull the bumper stickers off. We're going to leave Charlie Brown stickers on our car.
In the interest of efficiency, yes,
right.
and caloric restriction.
Okay, I want you to remember one thing. Remember when Tammy Faye Baker and her husband got indicted and he was hauled off to jail?
Uh-huh.
And he cried and he grabbed onto a table leg or something? You remember that?
I don't remember the...
Jim Baker was sitting.
Yeah.
And when they arrested him, he had fought this thing several times. Appealed it, and finally the day came, they took him in, and he started crying, and he grabbed onto somebody's leg or table leg. I think you're going to see a repeat of it. Only with Doolittle. Hanging on to someone, so please don't take please.
Grasping at straws. Mike, I think thank you for the call. We love these scenarios. Thank you. 349 directors of our own films and lives. Brian in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Brian.
Hi, thank you for taking the call. Just
to
comment on Charlie Brown's campaign.
Yeah.
I don't agree he ran a good campaign. I thought he ran a terrible campaign, too negative. We know he's not John Doolittle, but I'm still not sure who Charlie Brown is. The good news, I think he showed Doolittle will be very beatable, and the next election, he'll be challenged not only in his own party, but he'll have a real strong challenger somewhere in the Democratic Party, and that's the year he should be taken out, but it won't be by Charlie Brown.
Did you vote for Charlie?
No, I did not.
You voted for Doolittle?
No, I did not.
You just didn't vote?
I did vote.
Oh, you voted for the guy who got 5%, the Libertarian?
That's right.
You did, because you couldn't bring yourself to vote for Doolittle, but you couldn't also bring yourself to vote for Charlie.
I resented his campaign. Once I started hearing it, I just thought, I don't want any more negativity. I'm tired of it. And he doesn't.
Whoa, wait. What part of the negativity were you put off by? Because I thought what I saw of it, I thought he ran a pretty positive campaign, and it was Doolittle running those push poll kind of robocalls that were annoying and irritating people.
No, they both did. I just didn't want either one of them.
But what did Charlie do specifically that turned you off?
Just the negativity about
specifically
Doolittle. The fact is the scandals, the Abramoff stuff. You know, what does Charlie Brown stand for? That's what I wanted to hear, and I was hoping to hear from any candidate.
But wasn't that salient to you to know that the incumbent was the focus of a couple of investigations and
yes,
so tarnished with corruption? Don't you want to know that?
Yes, absolutely. But okay. I don't need to know that from the other guy's campaign. I want to know what he stands for, and very few candidates do that today. And I'm just unhappy with it, so I voted that way.
Okay, Brian, I thank you
for
the call. 349-1320. It's revealing, isn't it, when people tell you why they vote and what it is that turns them off. Marjorie in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Marjorie.
Hi, Enid. Three things regarding Charlie Brown and the robocalls. And the Bee has a little, in the big section about the election, has a little paragraph that says, the liberal voter group, Move On, .org offered a $250,000 reward for information leading to a conviction for voter interference, which is a federal crime. I'd like to see somebody check that out. And number two, I heard Don Perotta say that the housing slump is really going to be the infrastructure bonds are just in time to take care of the contractors who will be out of work because of the housing slump. And I heard a neat critique of the California election. It was that Californians will go with indebtedness of bonds, but want nothing to do with more taxes.
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, how are the bonds going to get paid?
Yeah,
it's the question of the moment, but it seems like it's not a tax, so therefore, okay, let's go for it. You know, it's coming out of the general fund or something.
Oh, boy.
All right, Marjorie, I thank you. 349-1320-866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the post-election Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow, we got traffic moving southbound 99. Just a little slow, though. I don't see any hazards or any accidents over there. That's amazing. Elm Avenue and Hickory Avenue, we do have a two-car crash. Howe Avenue at El Camino Avenue, there's a three-car collision. And a Power Inn Road, just north of Florin Road, that two-car crash is stopping traffic over there. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm what you've all been waiting for, the world-famous
Enid Goldstein.
All right, let's see what you can do. Take it away.
On AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The Internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the Internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the Internet commercially. The world has turned against this. If your own personal Internet, that is you and me. You and me is that tubes. The Internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag, is a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Talk to Enid now.
349-1320. 354 on the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, and we're doing a postmortem on the local races. We haven't gotten around to the postmortem of the Angelides campaign, but we'll get there. And, of course, the big news is that Rumsfeld has resigned. I think he's a casualty of the election. And it means that Cheney has been downgraded in terms of big advisor. It means that all of Poppy's staff is coming in, and it means that Father knows best after all. Scott in Grass Valley. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Scott.
Hi. I have a kind of an interesting thought about the oil companies won this election.
What?
They got Doolittle, who's their man, and they got a defeat of the, 87 or 86, once tobacco, once oil. So basically they...
87, it was 87, I think.
Yeah, and I'm thinking that's kind of suspicious because I can't find anybody who voted with the oil companies.
You wonder if they were drilling for e-votes in the back of the machine somewhere. Is that what you're thinking?
Mm, yes.
Oh, who knows? You know, but it lost by a fairly. I'll dig out the numbers here in just a second. But it lost. It wasn't a small loss, I don't think.
No, it wasn't. But you know.
Here it is. Wait a minute. Here it is. Here it is. 87 lost by, almost 10 points. 10%, almost.
What do you think the percentage of the voting machines that were paperless ballot?
Oh, Scott, you know, we're never going to know, but it's a great scenario. 349-1320, Jack in Pleasant Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Jack. You got to turn your radio down or off.
Hi, Enid. Thanks for taking the call.
You're welcome, but you have your radio off.
Yeah, I turned it off.
Okay,
oh,
thank you.
This should be our old happy day today. All I wanted to call was about a comment that I had about Doolittle when I saw him running for Michael Moore when he tried to interview him on Fahrenheit 9/11. And I was thinking he tried to run away from his military service. And I suspect now that he will be investigated. He'll maybe run away again.
You know, I would call what he's doing not running away is too strong a word for what he does. I would call it waddling away.
Well, whatever. But that's my only comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Jack. Oh, I was trying to be. I couldn't believe that Smud lost. I cannot believe that people, you guys in West Sac and in Yolo County, said no to Smud. You've got to have your head examined. I can't believe that you were manipulated by those flim-flam, commercials, the Stan Atkinson commercials where he pretended to be a reporter on this thing, and all the 10 or 11 million bucks that PG&E invested in this ad campaign to manipulate you, and you guys let yourself be manipulated.
Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
Rumsfeld resigns, quoting Churchill.
I have benefited greatly from criticism, and at no time have I suffered a lack thereof.
President Bush on the election.
It was a thumping.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush sprang a post-election surprise today, replacing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller begins our coverage.
As firings go, it was gentle and courteous.
Now, after a series of thoughtful conversations, Secretary Rumsfeld and I agreed that the timing is right for new leadership at the Pentagon.
Having become a lightning rod for those critical of U.S. policy in Iraq, Rumsfeld was being shown the door. But Mr. Bush said they both agreed a fresh perspective was needed at the Pentagon. And he announced that former CIA Director Robert Gates would supply it. Mr. Bush also admitted that he had deliberately misled reporters last week when he said he wanted Rumsfeld to serve out his term in office.
And the reason why is I didn't want to inject a major decision about this war in the final days of a campaign.
And the president said Rumsfeld was out regardless of the election results. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Rumsfeld will stay on until Gates is confirmed, assuring that he'll go down as the longest-serving defense secretary in U.S. history. His critics say he's served too long already. Even before the election, this American soldier in Baghdad was saying Rumsfeld had to go.
We need a change. We need a focus change. We need a new plan. And everyone above us knows that we need a new plan.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland, a retired Army colonel, says Rumsfeld was often faulted for charging ahead, ignoring voices of caution.
Those who talked about the possibility of an insurgency were, if you will, sidelined in the run-up to Iraq. And most of the talk, most of the efforts were placed on how to get to Baghdad, and only a small part of the time how to get the day after.
CBS News chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer calls Rumsfeld's removal very, very significant.
This is the beginning of an overall re-evaluation, and I would be very surprised if it didn't lead to some sort of withdrawal beginning sometime this year.
The U.S. ambassador in Baghdad, Zalmay Khalilzad, reassured Iraqi leaders today that President Bush remains the architect of U.S. foreign policy and commander-in-chief. Khalilzad said Mr. Bush will work with Congress to get support needed for the mission in Iraq to succeed. Now this.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Will you be watching when LeBron shows us he's wearing his own number? When 8 and 24 add up to 100? Will you be watching when the Suns don't stop at 150? When Chris Paul breaks the ankles of convention? When Shaq reminds us fingers are for rings? Will you be watching when purple and gold become red and blue in L.A.?
Will you be watching when? The NBA on ESPN. Suns versus Spurs, followed by Pistons versus Kings. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN.
John Tester's victory in Montana puts the Democrats within one seat of controlling the Senate after winning a clear majority in the House.
I'm Bob Foss on Capitol Hill. House Democrats claimed a mandate as they get ready to take over Congress. Control of the Senate still isn't decided. After final results came in from Montana today, the Democrats had defeated five Senate Republican incumbents, putting their number at 50. Whether they get to 51 and a majority depends on Virginia, and the race there is extremely tight. Democrat Jim Webb leads by about 7,000 votes, but too tiny a margin to call it for sure. In the House, Democrats will be in charge, and Nancy Pelosi will be Speaker.
The American people spoke with their votes, and they spoke for change, and they spoke in support of a new direction for all Americans.
As for Republicans, they're adjusting to their new minority status. The outgoing House Speaker Dennis Hastert makes clear he wants no part of that and won't run for minority leader. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. President Bush has a down-home election analysis.
It was a thumping.
He took responsibility for the losses that he blamed on voter displeasure with the Iraq War and House GOP scandals. He also got in a dig at his political architect, Karl Rove.
Obviously, he was working harder in the campaign than he was.
A red-faced Rove sat in the East Room front row as his boss spoke.
Mr. Bush has invited Nancy Pelosi to lunch at the White House tomorrow. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Yeah, us.
Talk to Enig now, 349-1320.
After 4 o'clock, we all need a hero, and maybe we have a better chance of getting one. You are listening to the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live. I am yours from 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It's a great day for Democrats today. I am delighted. We lost a couple of things in California, but on the whole, I think we have scored a major victory, and it means it's a real shift in the way the country is going to go, and I have lots of things to say about that, and you might as well. And let me just start with this. There is a warning from the Center for Disease Control. It has issued a warning about a virulent new strain of sexually transmitted disease. The disease is contracted through dangerous and high-risk behavior. The disease is called gonorrhea lectum, and it's pronounced gonorrhea lectum, and many victims contracted it in 2004 after having been screwed for 4 years. Cognitive characteristics of individuals infected include antisocial personality disorders, delusions of grandeur with messianic overtones, extreme cognitive dissonance, inability to incorporate new information, promotes xenophobia and paranoia, inability to accept responsibility for one's own actions, cowardice masked by misplaced bravado, uncontrolled facial smirking, ignorance of geography and history, tendencies toward evangelical theocracy, and categorical all-or-nothing behavior. This destructive disease originated only a few years ago from a bush found in Texas. So, there it is, gonorrhea lectum. There you go. 349-1320. But we didn't. We didn't reelect him. And there is so much. You know, we haven't talked about Phil Angelides. Let me just bring you up to speed. You know that all the propositions, 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D, 1E, 83, the sex offender proposition, and water flood, 84, those all passed. 85 on did not pass. So that's parental notification. Cigarette tax did not pass. 87 didn't pass. 88, educational fund property tax didn't pass. 89, campaign public fund. And 90, that horrible eminent domain tax debt, that did not pass. We know now that some of the people who called the program last night when we did our special election coverage have been elected. We know, of course, that Arnold won, and he won. The exit poll tells us that 74% of Democrats went for Phil. We know that Arnold won 55.8% to Phil's 39.2%. The lieutenant governor is John Garamendi. If you've been incarcerated all day long, you don't know that. He won over Tom McClintock, as we thought he would. Attorney general is Jerry Brown, 56.6%. He's a big winner. He won by the largest percentage. Treasurer is Bill Lockyer. Secretary of State, our own Deborah Bowen. She won 48.5% over Bruce McPherson, 44.7%. Controller, John Chang, 50.9% only over Tony Strickland's 40%. And insurance commissioner is Steve Poizner with 50.6% to Cruz Bustamante's 38.9%. So that's what we've got going on here in terms of what has won, what has lost. The Davis target measure narrowly passed. Davis voters narrowly approved a measure to allow the city's first big box development, a Target store. with all 43 precincts reporting 51.5% of city residents had voted yes on Measure K and 48.5% were opposed. And those of you who called in on that talked about how it violates sort of the, it isn't that you don't want Target in there, Target, it's that it violates sort of the city plan, and if Target comes in, it can happen that Walmart, any other big box retailer, the stage is set for those kinds of retailers to come in. There are a couple of pieces as to why it didn't work for Philangelitis. And I got an email from one of you last night. Last night, shortly before the polls closed, maybe 15 minutes before the polls closed, we were joined by Republican analyst Dan Schnur. And we were talking about the Philangelitis campaign, and I got an email from one of you saying, don't talk about Phil, don't talk negatively about Phil, the polls are still open. Well, look, anything that Phil did, he did to himself. I didn't do it to him. I've been a big supporter. And a kind of snarky piece that appeared in the Los Angeles Times about Philangelitis was written by one of his, well, opponents, certainly, because the guy's name is Gary South. He is a Democratic strategist. He has worked for Gray Davis, and he was the senior advisor to Steve Wesley's failed campaign for governor. So he's got, I think maybe he hasn't liked Phil for a long time, and now he has another reason to pile on, and here it is. He's writing, and the piece is called Phil the Unlovable Loser. And that he says, you don't have to be Mr. Congeniality to be elected governor, but voters at least have to feel good about you. He's saying that in his years of being a Democratic strategist, here's what he says. He says that the vote is a very personal and a very visceral one. As a political strategist who has studied voter behavior over 3 decades, I've learned that consciously or otherwise, people ask themselves, do I like this candidate? Do I trust him? Can he relate to somebody like me? And perhaps most important, do I want him in my face for the next 4 years, or do I want the other guy? Philangelitis' loss, writes Gary South, is proof that he didn't meet these tests. Admittedly, he was up against an opponent who, like the avuncular, self-effacing, wisecracking Ronald Reagan, proved to be certifiably likable to a majority of Californians. Gary South said the following. These are some of the criticisms that he made, and I would make different criticisms of Phil's campaign. He said he never did much to introduce himself in the first place. In general, he says, the proud Harvard grad came across as the smartest guy in the room, given to lecturing voters instead of conversing with them and providing them with a staccato recitation of statistics rather than making an emotional connection. Well, he did need to do better in terms of making an emotional connection. South goes on to say, but that shouldn't have been a surprise to anyone. This is a candidate with a long history of hard-to-like behavior. He said, take his low-blow political style. Even though negative campaigning often works in Angelita's case, it also seemed to reflect his basic personality type. He once referred to Reagan as a racist. As chairman of the California Democratic Party, Angelita's compared Governor Wilson to David Duke, a former grand wizard of the KKK. Last fall, when Schwartz vetoed a same-sex marriage bill, Phil put out a press release equating the governor to hardcore Southern segregationists George Wallace and Strom Thurmond. Angelita's name-calling and vitriol have not been limited to just those in the other party. He once famously called Democratic U.S. senators wimps. In the 1994 Democratic primary for treasurer, Angelita's ran widely condemned ads, outrageously accusing his opponent, David Roberti, of approving the murder of abortion doctors. You know, I don't know if people don't have that kind of a memory. I don't really think that that's what did it. In Los Angeles, when Angelita's accepted the long-delayed endorsement of Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa came maybe his worst moment. While he was at the podium, a girl on the stage with other students collapsed and fell to the floor. So finally, Villaraigosa finally decides to endorse Phil after stringing him along, sweating him out for quite a long period of time there. And as he's making the announcement, as everybody's at the podium, a girl on the stage with the other students collapses and falls to the floor. Angelitis freezes and then just kept mechanically orating. Meanwhile, the nimble Villaraigosa scooped up the girl, carried her off the stage, taking off his suit coat and placing it under her head. This clip was played over and over on LA television, and the contrast could not have been lost on voters. The LA Times website headline said it all, Mayor seizes the day from Angelitis. Well, you know, I think it's a lot of sour grapes from Gary South. The Sacramento Bee's Amy Chance, who's the Bee political editor, did an analysis of why she thinks it fell apart for Phil. And she quotes Gail Kaufman, the Democratic political consultant, who said Angelitis could have given Schwartzy a run for his money if he had ever settled on a consistent campaign theme. And I would agree to that, only I would add to it. He not only had to settle on a consistent campaign theme, But he also needed to do something that would get traction with the voters. Not only a consistent campaign theme, but also get traction, something that would get traction with the voters. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. But political observers have a long list of reasons California Democrats are unable to capitalize by capturing the governorship. This begins with the fact that Angelides was a micromanager. So they're saying he was a micromanager who essentially ran his own campaign, the political equivalent of the foolish lawyer who represents himself. Even Google played a role in part of this analysis because as its stock gains contributed to a boost in state tax payments, what it did is it helped the governor deliver a timely budget because there was way more tax than anticipated. Angelides didn't help his own cause by embracing a tax-the-rich platform that many believe doomed his candidacy. That was really a big thing. That was a big thing that really, I think, doomed him. And finally, the big tactical factor was his campaign's decision to go on the air early. This was Schwartz's deal, that they went on the air early and they had more money. And what they did is they were able to define Angelides before he could define himself. So those are some of the reasons they felt that this was that the Angelides campaign was lost. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Do you have some thoughts about what you're thinking as to why the Angelides campaign really didn't flourish the way it should have? My thoughts were that he kept changing the topic, and nothing that he ever talked about ever got the traction that it should have. He never picked something that would resonate. And the Schwartzy people said that they had money early. You know, Phil came out of a bruising primary. He didn't have money. He didn't have a lot of energy, maybe, but certainly he was, he was broke. So Arnold's people took advantage of that, and they were running ads that defined Phil in a way that made put Phil on the defensive before he was able to define himself. Let's head over to the phones and to Mike in Orangevale. Hi, Mike. You're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Hi, Enid. I think there's another component in your analysis there, or the ones you've been reading. Republicans vote. Republicans vote. They tend to go en masse, and they tend to herd well. Democrats don't vote as well. They're not as quite as easily galvanized. And when I hear these narrow margins, especially with Charlie Brown's race, and after I heard that this morning, I went out to lay down in traffic for a little while. Once I came to my senses, I realized that what I really should have done with my non-voting Democratic friends who claim to be disenchanted with the system was done the same thing Jim Baker did. And it's the way I used to get dates in high school. You know, I'd fall down on my knees and cry in public. I'd grab her legs and, you know, just like Jim Baker. But I don't see John Doolittle being hauled off the slammer, by the way. I see him being censured, but I don't think he's, at least he's been stripped of his power.
Well, do you see him being taken down by Charlie Brown in 2 years?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
If the Honorable Mr. Brown will run again. Oh yeah. Yeah. Very,
okay.
Very, very definitely.
All right, Mike. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. Keith in the Rancho. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Keith.
Hi. This is Keith in Rancho Cordova.
I'm in
my car. I might be getting a bad area in a second. I have a simple reason Phil Angelides lost: his physical appearance. I know that sounds awful, but that's how Arnold won. And people don't want to see a guy who looks, let's face it, like a complete nerd. I know I may be ruffling some feathers here, but I think if he was a handsome man, put George Clooney in his place, he would have done well.
Well, is Arnold that good looking? Have you ever seen Arnold close up? I mean, Arnold's had a couple of facelifts. He's wearing lifts. You know, he's wearing heels in the form of boots. You know, some people say he wears a girdle. Hair and makeup are not colors that you necessarily find in nature.
I agree. But his appearance on television, his stature, I think Phil Angelides was probably taller. But
I think he is taller. Arnold's kind of short. He's like he's lucky he can get himself up to 5'10", and maybe not without Viagra.
I know Phil said when he was near him, he looked like his head was dipped in Tang.
Yes, that's exactly right. I said that. But Keith, all right, so you're saying it's a matter of who looks cuter.
I'm sorry. Like I said, I may be ruffling some feathers.
Well, all right, then, by your cuter index, let me just say, who's cuter, Charlie Brown or Deep Doolittle? I think Charlie Brown is a much more attractive man in every way than Doolittle.
I'm not gay, but I do believe that Charlie Brown is a better-looking man than John Doolittle.
Well, yes, and Charlie Brown lost. So your looks are only part of the equation.
Incumbency is a big part of the equation, I think, in spite of the corruption of Tom Doolittle. He won because, first off, it was Republican territory.
Yeah.
And they didn't care whether he raped his mother or not. He would have won. And he did everything under the sun to be ousted out of his position. It's just sickening that a man like that, who took the, I guess, bribes or whatever it was from Abramoff, is still in office.
He's still on the loose and free to take bribes again. Keith, I thank you for your theory. I think it's a charming one. 349-1320, 866-620-613-20. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Yes, thank you very much, Enid. Well, you know what? I don't know. I probably wouldn't go out with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, and probably due to the fact that he was dipped in tank. I know that maybe the roadways over there, Southbound 99, were dipped in grease, though. We have 2- and 3-car crashes all over. Northbound Cap City Freeway, just past, it's like just north of N Street right there. We have a 3-car crash slowing things down. Otherwise, it's looking pretty good. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The conversation just got smarter. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The morning return.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes region, for folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
New rule. Jewish people have to start. The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to. Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. SMUD financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Talk to Enid now. 349-1320.
Darkness where I'm bound, and this black hole of darkness.
On the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live, I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7, weekdays on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. I'll give you the numbers when the lines open up. We're talking the elections. We're talking the postmortem, and we haven't even gotten to the fact that Rummy will have a lot of time to have a lot of rummies and to play a lot of gin rummies because he's out. And you know the interesting question that was asked about this and your thoughts about it. If Dickey had let Rummy go before the election, would that have helped the Republicans? Let me ask you this question. If Dickey had let Rummy go, if he'd said adios, Rumsfeld, before the election, would that have helped the Republicans in the election? Paul, in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Paul.
Hey, Enid, I'm a Democrat, and I was listening to some of the other channels.
Yeah, Paul, I'm gonna spell my name for you. It's Enid, E-N-I-D.
Okay, sorry about that. But can you hear me now?
I can.
Okay, they're saying that George Bush is now a liberal.
What? Who's saying
this? Yes.
Who's saying this?
Savage.
Oh, Savage. First of all, Savage used to be a liberal. Savage will be whatever he can make the most money being, is what I think about Savage. And secondly, he's been hating George Bush for a long time, so now he's calling him a liberal. He's going to do whatever it is to get people talking about him, and whether he believes what he's saying is another matter entirely.
And the other thing you were saying about, no, it would not have helped the Republicans because they have screwed up so badly.
You don't think it would have helped him? If Dickey had, you know, think of it as an October surprise. If Dickey had said adios to Rumsfeld right before the election, what do you think? You don't think it would have helped the Republican? I think it's a really interesting question. It might have helped him in some tight races. I don't know.
You know what? It's got to come down from the head up. I mean, you've got Cheney. You got to get rid of. You got to get rid of a few other people up there.
Well, it looks to me like Cheney's been sidelined because Cheney argued to keep Rumsfeld. And Dickey has never been able to stand up to those two. And in Bob Woodward's book, even Laura wonders why Dickey was keeping Rumsfeld around because she thought he was hurting her husband. So he finally was able to say adios to Rumsfeld. And who does he bring in? Somebody who used to work for his father. So you have James Baker, who used to be the fixer for the family and for the father and the Secretary of State and former Chief of Staff for the father. He's in there assessing Iraq. And now you've got Gates coming in, who used to run the CIA for Poppy. And he's going to take charge of the Department of Defense and try to fix the damage that Rumsfeld has done. Although I will tell you this, in advance of the election, had he let Rumsfeld go, maybe it would have hurt him because it would have been an admission that things weren't going well. And what they wanted to project was that they were really strong and tough and virile and they were going to win.
Well, the one thing you saw in this election is the American public finally woke up and voted the way they should have voted. Not just get rid of the people that were causing the problems in this country and get people back in there to straighten this country out.
Amen. I think you're right about that. Here's a woman who has been voting since FDR. was president, and she wasn't going to miss another election. So here's this 95-year-old woman, and she realized she did not have a ride to the polls yesterday, so she didn't hesitate. What did she do? She dialed 911. She asked for help, and it meant a lot to everybody in the office and made everybody feel like what they do is worthwhile, and the dispatchers forwarded the call to the county election services office, where it was considered a compliment, and they figured out a way to get this 95-year-old woman to the polls. We have some lines open now. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Douglas in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320.
Oh, hi, thank you. I was listening to what you said earlier about the smut business. And it wasn't just YOLO, you know. I voted for it here in Sacramento.
Yeah, it was West Sac and it was YOLO.
Yeah.
Yeah, why did people go for PG&E? Why are you voting against your best interests? It's like Democrat. It's like blue-collar people voting for this administration.
Yeah. Is there a breakdown on which area voted for what or how much? Because
I haven't seen it, but you could always try going to the Secretary of State's website and see if you can find anything there and see if it will give you the breakdown that you're looking for.
Because there were ads that I saw for this smut customer in my area saying that smut was overreaching and they weren't going to be able to, you know, keep up with our rates of service because of this big deal they were trying to put through.
Oh, smut would have been marvelous, and smut would have cost you your utility bills would have been so much lower with smut. If all you need to know about where you want to vote is when you find out that PG&E is spending $10 or $11 million to get this thing through, that tells you what a gold mine they think this is for them.
Oh yeah,
and that's why you don't want PG&E. What you really want is smud there. Mm-hmm. Douglas, I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-626-1320. Maria in Auburn. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Enid. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Good. I had a quick comment. It's just disheartening in this area to know that there are so many people who are still willing to vote for Doolittle after everything's come out. It makes you feel like maybe integrity isn't what they're looking for in a public servant. But
what do you think? People who called my show, and maybe they were plants, Republican plants, I don't know, but people who called my show all said the same thing. It was a pocketbook issue. They were convinced that Charlie would raise their taxes and Doolittle wouldn't.
Well, it's just crazy. I don't understand that kind of.
And I think also it was people who are such rock Republicans that they don't want, even if Doolittle is a cretin, they don't want anybody to they want one less person to go along with any Democratic program. In other words, they want the Republican agenda to go on through.
It's true. Placer County is just that way. The only good thing about it was that Charlie Brown lost by such a small margin. And while it's a big Democratic way to go, it's sad to hear that a third person was able to siphon that many votes off that might have turned the tide. So,
well, I think a lot of people couldn't bring themselves to vote for Charlie or Doolittle put their vote with that third person. Maria, thank you for
right.
the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. David in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, David.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
I had a possible reason why the smut measure failed. I don't think it was just YOLO and West Sac that were voting on it. I live in Placer County in Roseville, and I also had the measure on my ballot, and I voted for it. But
you had it in your ballot in Placer County in Roseville?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
I wasn't aware of it. I thought it was West Sac. The reporting I'd seen was West Sac and YOLO primarily. But
that's what I thought too, and I was surprised to see it on the sample, and then when you were mentioning that the people of YOLO and West Sac were foolish for not doing it, I agreed with you, but I don't think it was just them that made the decision.
Okay. So what did you vote? Did you vote in favor of SMUD?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've had experience with PG&E when I lived in Vacaville a long time ago, and watched the prices shoot through the roof, and were always bordering on excess, and then I moved up here to Sacramento, and voila, smud.
Smud. Well, and yeah, which makes a big difference. And you know what? We haven't seen the last of the energy manipulation that we saw during the Enron years. I think I think it has probably gotten more sophisticated. And I think what we need is finally a push to rate re-regulation. It was never broken. It never needed to be fixed. I thank you for the call. 349-1320. This is just amazing to me that the arena backers say they're going to keep trying. They are in that even anybody voted for those measures is remarkable. As the sales tax increase for the new Kings Arena downtown rail yard went down to a crushing defeat, a group spearheading the campaign for measures Q&R said it will continue to work to get such a facility built. Oh, God. Why don't they just pick up the trash? You know, you want to make Sacramento a world-class city? Start picking up the trash. I can tell you where there's a lot of it, where they can pick it up. It's been there. It is not going anywhere. It's just getting more and more ossified. That trash is on Watt, before you get to Fulton when you're coming from the freeway. And I forget the two streets. I may pay more attention to that next time. But there's a lot of trash there. It's in bags. It's in a lot of plastic. It's filthy. They should just pick up the trash. Alice in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Alice.
Hi. I just wanted to say the Republicans are so brainwashed and so stupid, they'd vote for Al Capone if he was running, or they'd get Charlie Manson. That's all I've got to say.
Oh, Alice, thank you. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We've been talking about why Phil didn't make it and why the campaign faltered as much as it did. I think he never could. He never resonated. They tried a million different things, and nothing ever resonated. And you know what else happened? If you'll recall, for a while we were asking the question, "Where's Phil?" He was sort of missing in action. We never, for months after it felt like, maybe it wasn't that long, but it was one of those things where you realize, gosh, the primary's been over for quite a while. You wake up and you say, well, okay, Phil won the primary, and where's he been? What's he been doing? Where is he? Is there a medical issue? What's the story here? And he simply wasn't around. 349-1320, Kurt in SAC. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Kurt.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I called today just to say I cannot believe that the backers of the arena measure are continuing to flog that horse. I think pretty much people who live in the central city as I do realize that the arena is one of the biggest jewels that Sacramento can have, and I'm going to be so thrilled to be a resident of the city when that finally comes in. But I don't understand why anybody, for the sake of an arena with all the limitations that the Maloos have put on it, I don't understand why anyone would want that arena in there to be artificially manipulating the mix of businesses and restaurants and everything else that could be so great. And I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed in the political hacks that I saw last night, like Sandy Smoley, who couldn't read two words without referring to her written notes. Her and Roger Dickinson standing there basically just trying to turn their backs on the voters as though this was something that was a good idea for people. I mean, there are very few people can afford to go to Kings games maybe once or twice a year. I don't know more than a couple of season ticket holders from the beginning. They don't hold them now. So I just don't know who it is.
Well, here's what you've got. That you have a basic flaw in the whole process, and the basic flaw is this. What would satisfy the Maloofs and bring in the most money in the development of that area would be horrible for the city and for the residents. It would be horrible in that what they want to do is turn it into a sea of asphalt parking so that they can get as much money as possible per car, and they don't want anything that will compete with that $50 hot dog they're going to foist on you once you walk inside. So they want no restaurants, no businesses around, none of that stuff. So the things that you really want that make a city wonderful, the pedestrian qualities, you can walk from here to there on a lovely night, they don't want to play ball with the city. They just want what's good for them. And for the rest of the city, it's kind of like, screw you, you're here to serve us, is the feeling I get with the Maloofs. Kurt, I thank you for the call. 349-1320 866-626-1320. Loopy in Woodland. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Loopy.
Hi. I was just calling about the smud vote. Sacramento and Yolo counties voted, well, the affected parts of Yolo County voted for it because Yolo County was basically voting to switch from PG&E to smud.
Right.
And the Sacramento smud customers, current smud customers, had to approve the vote. I mean, the takeover, well, it's not takeover. It's basically Yolo County requested that smud consider taking us on. So I'm real disappointed in the vote.
Why did so many people for whom SMUD would be a terrific benefit, why would they vote against their own self-interest?
I think it was the propaganda that was out there from PG&E making it sound like SMUD came. in and wanted to take over Yolo County. And then they were talking about cost and that the studies that were done were not accurate and SMUD's equipment was worth more than what the estimates were.
I think this brings up, I thank you, Lupi, for the call. This brings up a really good question. What do Arnold and PG&E have in common? Those two issues. Arnold, I don't think, you know, everybody went for Arnold. Arnold is a triumph of marketing. And the PG, and what the substance is with Arnold, I don't know. It hasn't really revealed itself in the 2 years prior to this election, just in this last year, when he had to crank it up and when he took such a resounding defeat in the special election, then he started to get it together. To do the things that would make a good marketing campaign and make him palatable to the voters and to reinvent himself. But what the true Arnold is, you know, whether there is a there, we don't really know. And the deal with PG&E was also a triumph of marketing. They managed to get people to vote against their own self-interest, and they did it with a heavy expenditure of money and with, you know, getting guys like Stan Atkinson and putting together this whole propaganda marketing blitz that really worked for them. And what does this say about us? That we are so easily swayed that we don't see through this kind of a marketing blitz. What does it say about us? 349-1320, 866-620-61320 to see the, what the truth is of something. John in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm actually traveling to Sacramento straight from Florida 16th District, home of Mark Foley.
Oh, and? A Democrat took that seat.
Yeah, it was a slim margin, and the county that I live in, Charlotte County, is a very red county, and believe me, I don't know why I actually moved there. But I actually volunteered my office to do phone banking with Tim Mahoney the last 3 weeks, and hopefully that made a difference, and obviously it did. Well, otherwise, he wouldn't have won.
Maybe you moved there because they have a higher divorce rate in the red states. Just kidding, John.
I moved there because I love the humidity.
Yes, and they have cockroaches the size of Buicks that they call palmetto bugs. I've never understood the appeal of Florida, really, but I thank you for calling.
Hey, no problem. I enjoy your show. Thanks.
Thank you very much. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Yes. Well, the traffic is almost like this tooth that I have here on the left-hand side. It is a pain in the mouth or the neck or the roadway, rather, in this case. And you know what? I have Amosol on there or whatever, so it's like numb when I'm telling you about this. Eastbound 50 just east of Stockton Boulevard. Southbound 99 all the way down. Nice and slow. Couple crashes. Southbound Watt Avenue, eastbound 50 and northbound Cap City Freeway, just north of M Street. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The people have spoken. It's radio in the left zone. You're listening to Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Want to... At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Don't want to be an American idiot. Don't want a nation under the new media. And can you hear the sound of the stereo? The subliminal mind, America.
stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the three blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it, extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Live, local, and left, it's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
You can't imagine so many... 4:45 on the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. You can join the conversation. Frank McCourt, the famed author, will be with us live in studio in about a week and a half or so. He's going to be here as part of the California Lecture Series. And his latest book is Teacher Man. You can email me, enid@kctc.com. We stream live, and you can call in, 349-1320. Always toll-free, or 866-620-1320. And you know what's wonderful? You never know who's going to drop by Enid Live, and you never know who's going to call in. And it's been an extended and vibrant conversation now for quite a while, and I thought that it was really fun last night. And I'm delighted that you were able to join us, those of you who checked in with us last night. And let's head over to the phones, because I think Steve is one person who's checked in with us. Hi, Steve. You're live with Enid on AM 1320.
How are you doing, Enid?
I'm doing well. We appreciated your reports last night.
Well, that was a lot of fun, and we really appreciate you guys also. I'm headed up towards Placerville right now to Scott Forrington's Human Rights Roundtable. He's going to be a guest bartender for them. It's going to be a raffle and many other things for their cause.
Okay.
And I just figured that since you guys are so helpful to the community that I repay the favor and go up there and spend a few bucks.
Okay, good for you.
So I was wondering also on Deborah Bowen, does anyone know if she actually won Sacramento area? I sure hope so.
Well, I don't know. I don't have any breakout of the geographical area, but she won. You do know that she won, don't you?
Yeah, she won.
Because when I went to sleep last night, last night, some of these races were, hadn't yet been called, but she won 48.5% to Bruce McPherson's 44.7. And where I think it started to turn for was when the returns from Los Angeles started coming in, and maybe the Bay Area too. I don't know about Sacramento.
Yeah, I think you can look for Bill Durston to run again also.
Let me ask you, were you at the event last night? You were at Durston's event last night, weren't you?
Yes, I was at the event.
Okay. I felt terrible because when we talked to Bill, I'm the one who told him the numbers, and I had the impression he hadn't heard them before, and you could almost hear the wind coming out of his sails. But they were, it was Lundgren in the 60s and Bill Durston in the 30s. Any thoughts about that? And I thought maybe I shouldn't have. But, they're all big boys, and believe me, the gore he was feeling is nothing compared to what he sees as an ER doc. And, somebody was going to tell him, so that was what
I was standing right there when you did tell him, and... I'm sure it took a little bit of air out of his sails, but wind out of his sails, rather. But he's such a good man. I mean, he recouped in minutes, and he went on to give a fantastic, inspirational speech. And so, you can't keep a good man down. So that's,
And maybe the next time, maybe he makes, each time, you make a greater incursions into the territory, and it's adios to Dan Lundgren, because not a moment too soon as far as he's concerned.
I think that's it. I think that you're on the right track. That's exactly what he wants to do. And he did pull in about a 38%.
His percentage was pretty impressive, and I think this was his first time out, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's because the one before him, I worked on the campaign of Gabe Castile before him. I think he was only about, what, 34% or something like that. But considering how much Bill was outspent and everything, I think that's a very good sign. So these districts can be changed.
But, it takes
know, Bill was up against a very big named incumbent also.
Well, and a formidable Republican machine. Although I have to say, I think Karl Rove has been overrated, and maybe he was a one trick pony and he ran out of tricks. Steve, I thank you so much for the call and thanks for the fine work you did for us last night. Well, we really appreciate it.
Thank you, Enid.
You're welcome. Have fun tonight. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. Richard in North Highlands. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Enid.
Hi.
Answering your question about Rumsfeld resigning, if that had been announced some time ago.
Or a couple of weeks or a week before the election, you think it would have made any difference? Or would it have made the administration look weak?
It would have helped. I'll bet you there's half a dozen former Republican Congress members around the country that are just cussing Bush and Rove out right now. That's my take on it.
Okay.
I think it would have given them a little daylight between them and Bush. I don't see how that could have hurt them. The other thing I wanted to just throw out there, and I'd love to hear what you have to say about it. The spin that they've been doing, that they're doing, and that they've been doing on Nancy Pelosi just turns my stomach.
They started that before the election, and now Rush is the biggest practitioner of it. And as I look back on Rush jumping Michael J. Fox the way he did, you know what that tells me? That tells me they were so scared that they were willing to do even that.
You know what? I've lived up here in Northern California a long time, and I've followed Pelosi a little bit. And this is a eminently reasonable, pragmatic, intelligent person, honorable, just the kind of person you want in Congress. And I hope the rest of the country gets to see that, about her, without...
They're trying to demonize her. And they're trying to demonize her for two reasons. She's a woman, and because they regard her as the demon liberal in San Francisco, her home turf, she's regarded as moderate.
Yeah. We've got a woman speaker now. And we also elected the first Muslim member to Congress, too. How cool is that?
How cool is that? I thank you for the call, Richard. 349-1320. I just want to share with you this quote from Rush. People have been asking me all night, all day, how do you feel, Rush, in the wake of this Democratic victory? He says, I feel liberated, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't have to carry the water for people that I think don't deserve to have their water carried. So I rest my case. The guy is a pimp. He is a pimp for the Republican Party. If he didn't think that it was that they deserve to have their water carried, and what water is he discussing here? Why was he doing it? I mean, what we do around here is support the candidates we believe in, not support the candidates that some party tells us that we're supposed to support. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Slow traffic, westbound 50 just east of 59th, westbound 50 just west of North Bend Watt, actually all the way up and Folsom Boulevard as well. Eastbound 50 just past Folsom Boulevard, we have a three-car crash. Northbound Cab City Freeway just north of N Street. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel.
The truth, according to Enid, will set you free. Call her now at 349-1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and Almond Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sam.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. The campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You got all, you think you get all the answers to the, all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Taurus, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Play perfectly. I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club, and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play, bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four-diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club, and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
No more cell phones in movie theaters. Please, you're not a cardiologist on call. You're a putz whose babysitter wants to know where the ketchup is. And then you tell her in the middle of the movie. Sometimes it's so loud in the theater I can barely hear what the black people are yelling at the screen. There is a simple solution. Put your cell phone on vibrate. And then up your ass. All right, new rule. No more celebrating gastric bypass. Carney Wilson, Al Roker, and now Star Jones are all being heralded by the media for stapling their stomachs shut. They shouldn't be. They're not making a brave choice to change. They're giving money to doctors to reroute their ability to turn food into crap.
Laughing at the food. AM 1320.
Local and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
You can't imagine so many monkeys in the Daily Mail, and all of them coming anonymously so they leave no trail. Never thought I'd have an IRA from overseas, with somebody sending me stationery filled with chimpanzees. Some chimps in swimsuits, some chimps are swinging from a vine, some chimps in jack. Some chimps that wish they could be monks are ski and arch chimps. A chimp who's sitting on the can, a pair of catch chimps who send their love from Amsterdam.
4:56 on the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7. You know, here is some wisdom finally. South Dakota voters rejected the toughest abortion law in the land, a measure that would have outlawed the procedure under almost any circumstances. So, and we rejected in California Prop 85, the parental notification. And here you've got Rush saying that people have been asking me all night, all day, how do you feel, Rush? I feel liberated, he says, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't have to carry the water for people that I think don't deserve to have their water carried. You know, he makes himself sound like a urinal. 349-1320. You know, if you don't believe in these people, why are you pimping them? Bob and Zach, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Bob.
I just wanted to say belated congratulations to you and to like-minded people who have so
CBS News. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush says it was in the works before the election, but he waited till today to make the announcement. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is stepping down.
Don Rumsfeld has been a superb leader during a time of change. Yet he also appreciates the value of bringing in a fresh perspective during a critical period in this war.
That fresh perspective will come from Robert Gates, a man with a national security background and close ties to the first President Bush. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive takes a look.
Business experience, former head of the CIA, now president of Texas A&M University. Robert Gates has an impressive resume, says Robert Parry, author of books on both Presidents Bush.
So he has a lot of experience, he has a lot of intelligence, but he also comes with baggage.
In the 1980s, for instance, Gates was questioned by Congress about arms deals with Iran to help guerrilla fighters in Nicaragua. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Gates currently serves on the Iraq Commission, led by former Secretary of State James Baker and former Democratic Congressman Lee Hamilton. CBS News White House correspondent Jim Axelrod reports some in the president's own party wonder why he waited so long.
A top Republican pollster who works with the White House says the president's timing on Rumsfeld is shocking. The pollster says if this had been done last month or even last week, the Republicans could have kept between 10 and 15 additional House seats.
As it is, the Democrats picked up enough House seats to gain the majority and make Nancy Pelosi Speaker.
This election was about the future, not about the Republicans. And so we will go forward with an agenda on issues that are relevant to the lives of the American people, addressing their priorities.
What kind of speaker will she be?
I think that her approach tends to be thoughtful, decisive, and grounded. And I think that it will play out in a very stable style of leadership.
Victoria Budson heads the Women and Public Policy Program at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Control of the Senate hangs on the still undecided race in Virginia, where Democrat Jim Webb leads Republican incumbent George Allen by about 7,000 votes. This could be a breakthrough in sight restoration. CBS News reporter Vicky Barker in London says British and American researchers have had major success working with photoreceptor cells.
The loss of light-sensitive photoreceptor cells is the leading cause of blindness in the elderly and causes other eye disorders as well. For the first time, scientists have succeeded in transplanting the cells into blind mice and restoring their sight. A treatment for humans could come within a decade.
The FBI is out with a warning about two new internet scams. In one, you get a hoax email claiming you've made a purchase through an online service provider. If you select a link to dispute the charges, you're asked to give account information. Another email has an attachment purporting to be a summary of your order. Opening the attachment unleashes a virus that infects your computer. The Dow, 19 points higher today, closing at 12,176. This is CBS News.
I can save you $300 on your electric bill. Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound hotel vacuum is so efficient that over its anticipated life, you can save about $300 on your electric bill compared to all those heavy vacs. $300 savings make Orrick one of the best buys in America. I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Your carpets will look like new, and your electric meter will barely budge.
If there were a store on your main street called Peace of Mind, would you pay it a visit? On main streets all across America, there is such a place, New York Life. We have been offering customers peace of mind for over 160 years. Peace of mind comes from our agents who adhere to the values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. So look for us in your town. Peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
Heavy rain swelled streams and flooded roads in the northeast today, but it's nothing like the high water in the Pacific Northwest. Heather Bosch of station KIRO reports on the situation in Snohomish, Washington.
As the Snohomish River surges, people in the town of Snohomish shake their heads.
I've seen a lot of homes flooded, picked up off their foundations and moved.
Yeah, it's all flooded right there. You can actually see cars underwater.
It's kind of scary. Just in this small town, more than 24 people evacuated. Some businesses damaged too.
The mill's probably the most damaged so far, I'm sure.
A couple hundred lumber mill workers are off the job today, and with roads covered in floodwater, many who work out of town are out of luck. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Snohomish, Washington.
The weather's blamed for at least 3 deaths. A dog that survived Hurricane Katrina is back with his original owner in New Orleans after a custody fight that went to court. Sheila Combs dropped her lawsuit when the Philadelphia couple who'd adopted Rocket and renamed him Rusty agreed to give him back. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I think that's not the case. We are celebrating a wonderful victory today, 5:05, 5 minutes after 5 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 3 of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. It has been a wonderful and really fabulous ride these last 2 days. Who would have thought that this was going to happen? We are sorry about the Charlie Brown Doolittle race, and we are sorry that Phil Angelides didn't win the governorship of California. And, of course, in that case, it's not a surprise. The polls were alerting to us to that for quite a while. In Charlie's case, it was close. I kind of had the feeling that maybe it wasn't going to happen, but in Charlie's case, it was a pretty close call, and he's really within striking distance. So if Doolittle gets hauled off to the pokey, why, that could open the door for Charlie, and Doolittle's got to run again in 2 years. So all of that, and some of our favorite candidates, John Garamendi won. All of these were cliffhangers when we went to bed last night. John Garamendi won. Deborah Bowen won. Jerry Brown was never in question. I think he won by the largest majority in all the races. Bill Lockyer won. John Chang won. For controller, and Steve Poizner, not a surprise there, he also won. We've been analyzing why Phil didn't do better than he did, and there are lots of theories about that. And we've been talking about a lot of the local races. We've been talking about Smud, and the arena backers are going to go back to town on that, which is sort of depressing. And we're also talking about the national news, and I want to move on to that. I want to add that to our conversation, because the big news, the huge news, is that Don Rumsfeld has been, what do you want to say, separated, terminated, fired, adios from his job as defense secretary? Donald Rumsfeld, a man whom Dickie just said recently he had full confidence in, you know, and Dick Cheney full steam ahead. And what has become increasingly obvious is that Rumsfeld and Cheney have been good friends. I don't know about best friends, maybe that, but they've been dancing in each other's arms for 30 or 40 years together. They even have estates near each other in Maryland, like weekend estates. They have worked together through a number of presidencies, and the two of them, strong engines, tough operators, those two, tough customers. Those guys were gonna be your father's Oldsmobile all over again. They were gonna right the wrongs of Vietnam I by giving us Vietnam II. They were gonna, you know, an America, USA that became, in their view, wimpy and diverse and, you know, more sensitive. They were gonna go back to the old mode, you know, from the 40s, from the 50s. Really, your father's Oldsmobile. And these guys nearly sunk us. They are the worst. And it's been reported that Cheney argued vigorously against letting Rumsfeld go, which means now that Cheney has been sidelined. And coming in to replace Rumsfeld is one of Dad's old cronies, 41's old aides, guy who used to head up the CIA, Robert Gates. So he's coming in. One of Dad's old advisors, James Baker, is somebody who is advising the president on Iraq issues, and so we're expecting some sort of a report because they've got to figure out what to do there. So, Daddy, this is your father knows best. So all that's been reported about Dickie and how he wanted to best his father, he is now turning to his father for advice. And it was reported not very long ago that some of the father's friends and the two camps have been at odds with each other, 41 and 43, they're advisors, and for example, Brent Scowcroft has been a top advisor to 41. He has been persona non grata in 43's presence, or in his White House even. And what the top advisors to the father were saying is that nobody has been strong enough to stand up to that engine of Rumsfeld and Cheney, and that Cheney is such a dark force, such an evil man, I think. He spent the election day going hunting. Here's the question. So here it is. Where do they put the key they just used to lock Dick Cheney back up in that undisclosed location? Where is that happening? And the first thing, if Dickie wants to work, and I watched his press conference this morning, I don't know if you saw it, but it was pretty interesting. The first thing he needs to do, if he's going to be working with Democrats, is learn how to pronounce it correctly. He needs to call it when he's talking about the adjective, he needs to call it Democratic. Not the Democrat Congress, not the Democrat platform, the Democratic platform. And I think we ought to insist on it because you see it everywhere. You see it in print. You see it. There's the Chicago Manual style that I think, I forget now whether the AP, the Associated Press, and which media outlets use these style guides so that they are consistent in the way they put out their information. But if it says Democrat in there, it's got to be changed. I don't know that it does. But I think we have to start, launch a movement here to give respect to the party, and the proper way of saying it is Democratic Party, not the Democrat Party. The Democratic Party. 349-1320. 866-626-1320. So here's the story. We may not know whether we have control of the Senate or not, but we're now in a tie situation, and the guy who breaks that tie is Dick Cheney. And if Senator Allen, Senator Mikakowicz, doesn't demand a recount, then Webb is the winner, and Democrats control the Senate. So undoubtedly, he will demand a recount. That's probably what will happen. But the last report I heard is there's something like 8,000 votes difference between them. What are your thoughts about what this means? I think it neuters Dickey. Not that he wasn't neutered before, but I think this officially neuters Dickey. And any mayhem that he wanted to achieve in the last 2 years of office, forget that. I think what it also exposes is Karl Rove. Remember the Wizard of Oz, the wizard everybody was so scared about? And when we found out, when the curtain was parted, the wizard was a little, you know, bald guy, a little, you know, pulling some strings. He wasn't nearly as scary as the smoke and mirrors effect that he had created. It's been a long time since I've read The Wizard of Oz, but I remember that image. Maybe I'm slightly off on it. Those of you who have just read it more recently, you can correct me. But Karl Rove, always the architect, was not stupid. Maybe he was a one-trick pony. But his tricks finally ran out. I don't know. Maybe he had a lot of tricks up his sleeves, but finally he didn't. Finally people woke up. The question I asked just a few moments ago, when we're looking at the selling of Arnold, when we're looking at the selling of PG&E, when we're looking at the selling of the war, when we're looking at the selling of this administration, when we're looking at these provisions, the selling of the tax cuts to the richest Americans, what we are looking at are things that are not good for us, and they have manipulated us into voting for these things. Not me, not you maybe, but enough people so that it was a majority. How do they do that? And how do we get so dumb? That would be another question. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And here's Rush saying, people have been asking me all night, all day, how do you feel, Rush? I feel liberated, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't have to carry the water for people that I think don't deserve to have their water carried. Why is he even doing it? Why is he pimping for people he doesn't believe in? What is he, the propaganda arm of the Republican Party? Apparently he is. It's a man who makes zillions of dollars a year. What does he have to do it for? What is he getting out of it? Why do you want to make yourself into a liar and a propaganda artist and admit so freely to the fact that that's what you're doing? I mean, exactly what is the plus in that equation? I don't quite understand it. 349-1320-866, 626-1320. You can email me, enid@kctc.com, and we stream live, 1320leftchannel.com. Dave in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Dave.
Hi, Enid. I just wanted to comment. I had been watching CNN earlier, and one of the Democratic strategist was commenting how Rumsfeld being asked to resign was sort of an olive branch to the Democratic Party, and he was wondering why they hadn't actually offered up Lieberman the job, and that way the Republican governor of the state would be able to appoint a Republican senator, thereby giving him somebody who was for the war in the first place and as the Secretary of Defense, and retaining control of the Senate.
This is too complicated for me, Dave. Tell me what your point is.
I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on that, whether they did that on purpose, or
what, did what on purpose? Got rid of, got, said adios to Rummy?
Not instead of choosing Gates as the Secretary.
Oh, I have no idea. I have no idea what the machinations were. I can't imagine that they would have offered it to Lieberman, but I really don't know. I don't know, you know, why would they offer it to Lieberman? To stick a Democrat with something that's so unpopular and so completely difficult?
Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, but they didn't. If they did, well, first of all, they weren't sure what was going to happen with Lieberman. That's the other thing. We didn't know what was going to happen with Lieberman. Now, you know what? Gates is father knows best on this one. Gates served the old man very well, so we'll see what happens here. I thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. Mike in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Enid. Hey, I just wanted to comment. You had asked about what's next, and I wanted to say I hope you got to catch the interview last night with Chris Matthews and John Murtha. And John Murtha was saying that what needs to happen now is that these guys need to be held accountable. That's what the people want. They want to see these people held accountable for what they've done. They don't want the Democratic Party to look the other way.
I don't know if you heard my guest last night, one of my guests, Lou DuBose. Lou DuBose is wonderful. He has been a longtime political observer. I think he was an editor at the Texas Monthly, which is a highly regarded publication. He's written a number of books, one on Tom DeLay, a couple of them on Bush, whom he has observed up close and personal for a lot of years. He's written with Molly Ivins, and his new book is on Cheney. And he is saying what's glorious about what has happened here is you've got Henry Waxman, who will now be able to conduct all kinds of investigations, and that has been the point. The point's not impeachment. A lot of people are saying impeachment's not the best idea. I don't know if I agree with that or I don't. But investigation, I like that. I'm getting all excited about the possibility of investigations here.
Well, you know, Enid, when they talk about impeachment, one thing that they can't say is they can't say, oh, you know, we've already predetermined we want to do this. What they want to do is they want to have investigations and hearings. And what will happen is once the truth starts coming out and people see what these people have done, they won't have to be impeached. They'll resign. I have a feeling that's what we're going to see. Remember when Nixon was there?
Oh, my God, then we're looking at President Pelosi. She's two heartbeats away from the presidency.
Absolutely. And actually, I think, too, that this gay guy is being brought in to do a little damage control because they're a little worried that they aren't going to be held accountable. And he's in there to see if he can't help Lee Hamilton and a few others do another whitewash job and maybe try and get Dickey off the hook one more time. And I think his dad has been fantastic at getting Dickey off the hook his whole life.
I think his whole life, from when he was doing blow and from when he was drinking too much. Yep, I think his father's. I think that's what his father's had to major in. Mike, I think these are great points, and I thank you for making them. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. John in Elk Grove. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, John.
Hi, Dad. First of all, I'd like to congratulate your success, too, because you contribute a lot for this effort, because I just want to, you know, have all the listeners to also compliment your station and your, you know, show and everything really keep the pressure on. And this is a good job that you have taken done.
Well, I like your version of it. Thank you very much.
The other thing is that I'd like to also, maybe you could also carry this momentum a little further, is that right now we have won, but we need to take care of the business, particularly Iraq. And I want to maybe later on in your show could concentrate on people comment and see what is the best way to fix Iraq. And I have one right now is that...
You must be the only one with an idea of how to fix Iraq. I think the rest of us are stumped. But go ahead, John. I applaud your feistiness in taking on this issue.
Right. What it is that, you know, we need more troops in there, but not the United States troops, obviously. The whole problem with the original problem is that there's no multilateral country involved with this, because Cheney and Rumsfeld are so greedy to just want to keep it to all the U.S. company to run this. But we could bring another country. Right now, all the Europeans don't want to come. But there's one country that can able to send troops, and that's China. China has vast interest in oil.
I think...
They could send half a million troops anytime, any day over there. And, you know,
and what's going to happen? Do they want to get caught in this quagmire? What's going to happen if China sends in a half a million troops? Well, they already own us. They own our paper. Now they're going to own our Department of Defense, such as it is.
Right. Yeah, I understand that. But what the United States needs to do is basically bury its own pie and then negotiate with China on some kind of effort that would benefit both the country. And then, you know, what it is China can benefit because we promised some kind of oil deal for them, and I bet they would go for it because, you know, hey, they have more troops in the whole world if they want to send half a million troops. It's just nothing.
Well, you know,
John, I thank you for this suggestion. Well, you've put it out there, and we will see now how people respond to it. Thanks very much, and thank you very much for your kind words, too. I appreciate them. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Our weather tonight, we have lows right around 45. I don't think we're going to see any showers tomorrow, though. Highs turn to 75. Traffic, a three-car crash. It looks like we have South Bend Cap City Freeway just south of Arden Way. West Bend 50 just west of Prairie City Road. And South Bend 99 just north of Minka Road. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Protecting your right to choose the left.
One of the most important things in your life.
It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Ever since we got sure.
The internet. It's not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck. It's a series of tubes. Massive tubes. It really is the internet consumer bill of rights. Because you got tangled up with all of these things that are going on the internet commercially. The world has turned against this. Your own personal internet. That is you and me. You and me. Tubes. The internet is not something that you just dump something on. It's not a big truck.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320.
It's a series of tubes.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? You want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sacjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sacjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sacjobs.com is a click away. At sacjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
New rule. Prince Harry is going to hurt someone. Look at this kid. He's a thundering ball of rage. His mom's dead. His father dates rotted tree bark. His brother gets to be king, and he's destined to spend the rest of his life being photographed doing nothing. Arrest him before he kills a woman. New rule. Country music stars can't be authors. Charlie Daniels' new book, Ain't No Rag, Freedom, Family, and the Flag. It's a collection of musings by noted white trash icon Charlie Daniels on subjects ranging from American flags to American flag bumper stickers to what to do to a hippie if you catch him trying to burn your flag. Before this book, I was ambivalent on the issue of flag burning. Now I find myself reconsidering the question of book burning.
Laughing at the truth. AM 1320. Live, local, and left. It's Enid Goldstein on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I took this girl out last night, and we left around 12.
On the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live, it's been a glorious day in the capital of California for a lot of reasons. There were really only a few things that we lost that we're sad about, but I think everybody acquitted themselves beautifully. If you listen to our extended election coverage last night, Jerry McNerney called in and he won. Charlie Brown did not, but lost. It's a squeaker. The best we can figure, it looks like 3.6% he lost by. Something like 7,300 votes, and one of you called in who's so smart about this said it really is only half of that. So we're sort of sad about that, and of course we're sad that Phil Angelides didn't win, but that's not a surprise. I kind of thought that Charlie might not make it, because I just had that kind of a gut feeling, and I wanted to think that maybe he was going to pull it out, but I think he'll pull it out the next time it happens. 349, 1320, 866, 626, 1320, but who would have guessed? then in this huge sweep of Democrats have taken control of, and I forget now, what is it, 30-some seats, of taking control of, or no, 20-some seats, taking control of Congress, and we're poised to take control of the Senate. We're just one race away, it looks like. It looks like the Virginia race, Senator Mikakowicz, and a recount is being demanded there. You might not know what's going to happen for quite a while on that race, but I mean, this is amazing. And then, add to all of that, we get the news today that guess what? Guess who has been shown the door? Donald Rumsfeld. Who would have thought that that was going to happen? Amazing. Amazing that this is happening. So let me see. The Democrats, looks like the Democrats took 28 seats, if my count is accurate. And it looks like if Virginia holds up, it looks like the Democrats may have taken control of the Senate. I mean, this is quite a rout. Also, Tom Shales has written a column about Katie Couric. Did anybody watch that coverage? Because, you know, this was going to be her trial by fire. His headline is, a few leaders emerge in TV coverage, so maybe she didn't exactly electrify the nation. Even so, Katie Couric affably took charge last night on her maiden voyage as CBS's anchor of a marathon news event, Election Day 2006, when the Republicans hit an iceberg. Couric perhaps appeared a tad diminutive compared with her counter. Well, you know what? All you do is you sit on a higher chair. And, you know, here's the dirty little secret of a lot of television anchors. From the waist up, they're dressed in suits. But from the waist down, sometimes they're wearing shorts or jeans. Or, you know, you can't see them from the waist down. Usually, so they can wear whatever they want. Couric perhaps appeared a tad diminutive compared to with their counterparts on the other major broadcast networks, but mainly because they are more experienced and look more familiar in the anchor role. Brian Williams looked most clearly in command on NBC with his predecessor Tom Brokaw and Meet the Press moderator, who never says anything that will get him into trouble, Tim Russert, assisting him. Charlie Gibson was solid, though not showy, on ABC, occasionally flashing dry wit, as when he said of Hillary Rodham Clinton's landslide re-election to the Senate from New York, that has all the surprise of a Doris Day movie. No slouch either was ABC correspondent Terry Moran, who reported from Democratic campaign headquarters that the partying party members were wallowing in the thrill of victory. They can feel it, they can taste it, they can smell it, and they're starting to drink it, in fact. ABC's election coverage got the jump on its big competitors by signing on at 9:30 p.m., a half hour before NBC and CBS. Exciting it will be indeed tonight, said Gibson, greeting viewers and sounding a little like Yoda. ABC even ran suspense movie music under Gibson as he rattled off the races that could be called at that hour with extremely knowledgeable assistance from George Stephanopoulos. It was a little wearying to see Russert pull out his wipe-away whiteboard again, especially when compared with the Cinerama-like superscreen on CNN's massive election night set. The screen, which flashed results, graphics, photos, and everything but instructions on how to eat crow, gave CNN the edge in special effects. Did you watch the coverage? I was watching a lot of MSNBC last night, and I hope you were with us for our extended election coverage. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. So no real leader emerged in the network coverage or in the cable coverage as well. Though I thought that Chris Matthews did a pretty decent job, and I liked some of the people that he had on. So your vote on Katie Couric, and here it is, the Borowitz Report. In the wee hours of the morning, after American voters swept his party from power, President George W. Bush made an extraordinary appearance on national television to ask the national electorate for a do-over. Millions of viewers were tuned into televised election night coverage when Mr. Bush, using the nation's emergency broadcasting system, when it doesn't have Dick Mountjoy commercials on it, interrupted these telecasts to make a direct appeal to the American people. Looking unshaven and unsteady, and occasionally slurring his words, the president implored the American people to invalidate the results of last night's election and vote again. I grew up with a great tradition of do-overs on the golf courses of Greenwich, Connecticut, Mr. Bush told the American people, and what's good for golf is good for democracy. Mr. Bush said that if the American people would grant him a do-over, he would gladly fire Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, referring to his longtime cabinet member as, quote, that loser. Across the country, voters registered shock and astonishment at the unorthodox speech by Mr. Bush, many of them troubled by the president's decision to appear on national television wearing only a stained undershirt. 1 hour after the president's address, Democratic National Committee Chairman Howard Dean delivered the official Democratic response. Howard Dean said, "He must be on crack." But minutes after Mr. Dean's appearance, Mr. Bush interrupted the network's broadcast one more time, raising the ante in his bid for a do-over. "All right, I'll fire Cheney's ass too, but that's my final offer." 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And the story that threatened to push the election off the front pages, Britney Spears filing for divorce from KFED, and how she delivered the news was via email. She texted him. She said, "You know, I've had enough of you." 349-1320, 866-626-1320. In additional news, in case there is any, which there is a little bit of, we've been talking election, we've been talking politics, we've been talking glee at finally coming into power. I want to talk about one of our other favorite stories that we've been following, and that is the Pastor Ted story. Again, remember now, and I don't know how much this, one of the reports that we had coming in was on the evangelicals. A third of them in this election voted Democratic. I bring that up because part of the counseling team, and you heard it here yesterday because one of my callers is from Denver, and he gave us a heads up on this. James Dobson, who is the rival of Ted Haggard, Pastor Ted, who is a closeted gay man apparently. James Dobson was going to be part of the counseling team that counseled Pastor Haggard, Pastor Ted, who must be feeling haggard, but he's going to drop out of that. He says he's too busy, citing a lack of time. Focus on the family founder, James Dobson, withdrew from the team overseeing the counseling of Reverend Ted Haggard. Either that or he thinks it's a lost cause or he's got, you know, a subsequent engagement or who knows. Emotionally and spiritually, I wanted to be of help, Dobson said, but the reality is I just don't have that much time to devote to such a critical responsibility. Now, if you didn't have the time to devote to it, let me ask you a question. Why did you say you would do it? Did somebody recruit you and you never signed on to this project? I mean, it's a little odd that you said you were going to counsel Pastor Haggard, and now you said, "Oh, yeah, I forgot to look at my appointment book, and I am so overscheduled that I just don't have the time for it." The two other members, or else he found out that it was a bigger problem than he thought it was going to be. The counseling process is called restoration, and it could take years. And I don't really know what it consists of, but God bless us all. Wouldn't we all like to be restored in one way or another? 349-1320, 866-626-1320. And as we continue, I will share with you from Dan Savage. Do you ever read his column in the News and Review, Savage Love? Well, Dan Savage is a gay man, and he's a writer. And he has written a piece on the code of the call boy and why Ted Haggard was really exposed. And we will go into that. Mike in Sacramento, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'm kind of laughing that you're surprised that Bush would get rid of somebody. He doesn't take blame for anything.
So Rumsfeld gets to be the ambulatory pinata out the door.
That's right. He had to have somebody big because he lost big.
Well, I think whether he takes blame, it has certainly been hurled at him. This has been a huge repudiation of everything that he stands for. And in all the polling in advance of the election and during the election and the exit polling and so forth, it was clear that this election had become a referendum on Bush and his policies.
Right. And if history shows that every time Bush got put into a corner, he left to go and blame them.
Well, remember when he said a number of things. He said he was a uniter, not a divider. He said
right.
The adults are going to be in charge here, meaning that if you wore a suit, even if you were an empty suit, such as that crew is, that somehow you were an adult. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. If you're an adult, it reflects in the behavior, the wisdom of your policies, the wisdom of your leadership. This was a marketing job.
When we went to Iraq, Bush made the comment, "Whatever it takes, get our guys whatever it takes."
Right.
And well, I don't see that happening either.
I think you're breaking up, Micah, but we do thank you for your thoughts. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the post-election edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much, Enid. Slow with hit and runs at Madison Avenue, McKay Street. Northbound 99 to eastbound 50, we have a two-car crash. And eastbound 50 at Hazel Avenue, looks like there's a three-car there. And southbound Cap City Freeway, just south of Arden Way, we have a two-car crash. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Dialing for democracy. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. The Morning Retort with John and Sam.
I think of us as more moderate in a lot of views, Andy.
Oh, sure.
Nor are we, you know, conservative, right-wing, whack jobs.
Yeah, we're not exactly...
Well, and the fact that you guys are in the middle of the road is the reason people can turn you on and go, well, yeah, you know, maybe these guys are making sense, you know. Oh, well, that's a good idea, too. And just left-leaning radio helped win last night. And it's the first morning in 6 years I can wake up and look at my kids and go, hey, guess what? There's hope, guys.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
New rule, one dear to my heart. Lap dancing is a First Amendment right. The L.A. City Council this week banned lap dancing. What is next? Burning books? Lap dancers, or Imagineers, as I like to call them, are artists drawing you into their fantasy world, much like a skilled novelist does. If novelists had perfectly waxed bikini lines. But more importantly, lap dancers are expressing an idea called hope. The hope that someday a skinny young woman with artificial breasts and a navel piercing will want to have sex with you. And without that hope, millions of American men might just as well throw themselves into the sea.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
Sunny day with tonight's AccuTerra forecast.
And folks, wasn't it just a perfect day for a terror alert? Bone chilling in the morning, clear and present danger in the afternoon, tapering off into cold sweats at night. Tomorrow, AccuTerra is predicting 100% chance of a really big terror alert to take our mind off bad economic news. Now, Kaida Sell coming down from Canada into here, the Great Lakes regions, the folks in the Detroit and Saginaw, you might want to put on that extra layer of Kevlar. Our exclusive AccuTerra radar is picking up a lot of chatter out here in the Denver area, so stay away from chemical plants, nuclear facilities, and of course, the French fries at Arby's. Here in the West, some light showers of ammonium nitrate, a little sarin gas are possible in the Los Angeles area, but don't expect loss of life. The Santa Anas are going to push all that nasty gunk out. Here's your 5-day. Yellow, bluish yellow, yellow again, yellow gradually becoming orange, and orange back into yellow. And we've got an orangish red weekend on tap, so be sure to have plenty of bottled water and canned goods on hand. And that's fair. All right, make it a great day.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320. Now, 349-1320.
Where I come from isn't all that great. My automobile is a piece of crap. My fashion sense is a little whack. And my friends are just as screwy as me. I didn't go to boarding schools. Girls never looked at me. Why should they? I ain't nobody. Got nothing in my pocket.
I guess that's where Arnie wants to be. That's where he had his victory party in Beverly Hills. Is he going to buy a house in Sacramento? That's what he kept telling everybody before the election. If he wins, he's buying a house. They're moving here. You'll see Maria at the Safeway. Don't bump her shopping cart. Whatever you do, 349-1320. Is he moving to town? I rather doubt it. Benita in Carmichael. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Benita.
Hi. I thought of something to say in defense of Rush Limbaugh, and I'm so excited.
Can there be any possible defense of Rush Limbaugh?
Well, yes, there can be, and I'm 69 years old, and I want you to know I wanted to hurry up and get on the line before I forgot what it was.
Okay.
If I had heard that, a commercial by Michael J. Fox, I would have thought he was leaning into it to make the commercial sound better. I didn't know anything about his situation, and for years and years he hid his trembling from the audience.
Right.
So I think that was a logical conclusion for Rush to come to. I don't think it was an evil thing.
Well, I really don't even follow what you're saying, Benita.
Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
He was making, I'm going to tell you why he made fun of Michael Fox, in case you were trying to find some slim read to defend Rush Limbaugh on. I'm pulling it out of your hand. I'm pulling it out of your forgetful hand, Bonita, and here's what I think was going on. I think that they knew that that race, and it has been, it was a very close race, and that Michael J. Fox could put it over for the Democrats, so he had to go after Michael J. Fox. I think it wasn't any, I think it was pretty much that simple. I thank you for the call. 349-1320-866-620-61320. Jerry in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Jerry.
Hey, I just wanted to comment on a couple of quick things. First off, I'm a brand new listener to your show. I didn't know that 1320 actually was the left side of the dial, and that is refreshing and nice.
How did you find us?
By chance. Unfortunately, I don't think you do enough advertising, because there's a lot of people like myself that are unaware that there's another voice, unless you're listening to a San Francisco station, especially one in our area here in Sacramento. So,
well, that's why, thank you, but that's why we are asking our listeners. We just put up some poster boards or billboards, kind of, and letting people know. But you are right. A lot of people do not know we are here, and you would be doing yourself and us a huge favor by telling everybody you know. I always say 3 to 5 people every single day that we're here, because I think through that kind of viral marketing is, otherwise, if people don't know we're here and they don't listen to us, we won't be here.
And I'm tired of getting a right-handed slant. I wanted to say, first off, that I am so glad that this election wasn't a referendum on religion, that you don't have to be a Republican to believe in God, that if you don't vote Republican, you're going to hell, and that for once in a while that they remember what this country was founded on, and that's separation of church and state, and that if you don't have that, you have a RAND. I also wanted to say that, you know, I'm tired of listening to radio where you have salvation is yours if you vote this way. And it's nice that the Republicans got their comeuppance, and it's nice that they don't have to feel that the only way they can vote and keep their God is to vote Republican.
Well,
thank
Jerry,
God people are thinking.
Well, and I agree with you, but Jerry, Rush Limbaugh made a really remarkable admission today. I'm amazed that he made it, because it doesn't really reflect very well on him. And the poll quote is this: people have been asking me all night, all day, how do you feel, Rush? And he responds by saying, and he said this apparently on the air, he said, I feel liberated, ladies and gentlemen, because I don't have to carry the water for people that I think don't deserve to have their water carried. So what he is admitting to is the fact that he lied, that he was pimping for the Republicans at any price. So I think pretty much he...
You don't think he was being sarcastic?
No, I don't. There was a bunch of verbiage that surrounded all of this, and he was really twisting himself and getting a hernia trying to justify some of what he has done. But
one last question. I did not get to hear or see the president. Did he really appear on national television in a t-shirt?
No, that was a Borowitz report. It's a satire.
Okay,
in a stained undershirt.
You got to be kidding me. Nobody's watching him.
In a stained undershirt, steady and unshaven. I love that picture, Jerry. I thank you very much, and I hope you'll keep listening and calling 349-1320. Breaking news: it's being projected by the Associated Press that in fact a Democrat has won the Senate in Virginia. So that Webb, they're going to do some more counting or do some more of something or other, but it looks like it's a Democratic win in Virginia. Adios to you, Senator Mackakiewicz. You and Rummy can, you know, you can hitch a ride with each other in a car out of town. Joe in Roseville. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Enid. First of all, congratulations to the Commonwealth of Virginia, so that's good. I wanted to make a quick comment about Rush Limbaugh. The other night I was watching Bill Maher, and he made a comment that the Michael J. Fox drug issue, if Michael J. Fox was off his drugs, that he knows a fat drug addict in Florida who might be happy to take them. So, I thought that was so
funny. Oh, Joe, you were so mean.
I know, but Enid, you know, one other thing I wanted to tell you is,
yeah,
actually, you know, everyone kind of wonders what a person on the radio, what they look like. And I actually saw your picture in an ad in a magazine in a waiting room the other day. And I just wanted to tell everyone that you are smart and beautiful also.
Oh, Joe, you are so kind. And the minute they see me, they're going to want their money back. But here's the beauty of radio. We're all beautiful in radio, unless you meet us in person.
Well, I'm telling you, everyone wonders. And gosh, I wonder what that person looks like, because they really have this unique voice, and they're so articulate, and they come across, you know, so smooth. And so it's always fun when you meet a radio personality or when you see their picture.
Here's the thing you know, having worked in radio, when we all do this, I think, whenever you hear somebody that you have not met on the air, you form a picture of what they look like. When you finally meet them or when you finally see the picture of them, it had never corresponded with what they actually look like. And I actually knew somebody, and I have to tell you, I sort of began life. I don't know if a lot of people know this about me, but I began life and like to think I continue it, but that's probably the, I don't. I began life as a writer. And I used to write a lot for the San Jose Mercury News. They have the Knight Ridder. Well, it's now a McClatchy paper. I think McClatchy still owns that one. But anyway, it was the Knight Ridder News Service used to distribute some of my columns and stuff. And I had an editor over there. And I swear to you, he sounded to me like Jeff Greenfield on CNN, or was then on ABC maybe. And every time I talked to him on the phone, I really had the mental picture of Jeff Greenfield. And when I met him, he didn't look at all like Jeff Greenfield. And it was so unnerving to meet somebody that you had formed a picture of in your mind's eye, but they didn't look like that. So they felt like sort of a strange. It was just a very odd feeling. I don't know. Very odd feeling.
I think I can relate to what you're saying. And yeah, one last comment I'd like to say is that if I could put together the perfect presidential ticket for 2008, and I know a lot of people won't agree with me, but I'd like to see John Edwards with Hillary Clinton as his vice presidential candidate, and I think that could be a winning combo, and I'm curious what other people think, but to me,
that's not bad.
I don't know if Hillary could win it on her own, but I think that she would be she'd be the icing on the cake to a John Edwards ticket.
What about Barack Obama?
You know what? It's too early to tell for me. I mean, he's just coming on to the main stage recently in the last couple of years. And on the surface, it sounds like a good idea. But I don't know if Barack and Obama and Hillary together, I don't know if the nation's ready for that. I personally would be okay with it. But, I don't know how many crossover conservatives, I don't know how many, you know, Republicans who would vote Democratic would make that cross that line. But I think with a strong candidate like Edwards and then Hillary Clinton supporting that, I think she could set up for, you know, 16 years of the White House.
Yeah, that could be a winning ticket. Joe, I thank you very much for the call, and I love the Morrow line. Thank you for that.
Okay.
And your kind words, your other kind words. Okay. We're always thrilled. Thank you, Joe. 349-1320. Well, here it is. Jim Webb has won the Senate race in Virginia, which gives control of the U.S. Senate, at least nominally, over to the Democratic Party, and the Associated Press is reporting this. An advisor to Allen, speaking on condition of anonymity because his boss had not formally decided to end the campaign, said the senator wanted to wait until most of the canvassing was completed before announcing his decision. The announcement is expected possibly as early as Thursday evening. So as we have more information on this race, I will share it with you. The Conrad Burns, the Montana one, that was sort of up in the air, but it looks like Montana law will prevent a recount, and it looks like Conrad Burns has lost that race. But here it is, Jim Webb, Senator McCaca, George Allen, his opponent. George Allen, Senator McCaukowitz, has lost the race. And until a few weeks ago, he was considered a shoo-in. So this is an enormous revolution that has occurred. 349-1320, 866, 626, 1320. Red, in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Red.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Congratulations, and thanks for all your hard work. I'm sure it had its impact.
Well, I don't know, but we are just thrilled with the outcome.
Well, your contribution was not small.
Well, thank you.
Listen, there's a couple of things, now that it's over and we're still giddy, that we really should begin work about, or at least thinking about, and that is there's a lot of work to do now. One is to undo a lot of that has been done, and we hope that Nancy Pelosi can do it in her amicable way, If she can't, then we got to get it with a vengeance. But however we do it, we're going to have to really hold our candidates' feet to the fire.
Well,
let them know we're supporting them, not just with our votes now.
I hope that they're able to pull it together. You know, now that it's safe to say it and that the elections are over, they haven't shown a lot of spine, this crew. And I hope that they are able to really get it together and do what needs to be done. Dennis Hastert is expected to step down. Remember now, they kept Dennis Hastert on in the whole Foley thing, which certainly did not help the Republicans, I don't think.
Oh, yeah. You know,
they kept him on because they needed him. They thought they needed him. And really, what did he do? He's going to be out of here.
Yeah. And then there's two other things that I think we should think about. The first is that there are an awful lot of people in this country who didn't get it after years and years and years of this debacle. They still voted Republican. And so that one of our jobs has to be education, gentle, persuasive, letting people know that their identity is not their political party, and they can start thinking about what happened.
I'm going to go farther than you, Red. I think what this country needs, you know, if I was painting a perfect picture of a perfect country, I'm going to tell you what I think one of the first things this country needs. We need to get smart again. We need better schools again. And I don't mean it from the rhetoric of somebody campaigning or from the educational establishment. We have gotten really frighteningly stupid. And you see it in a million ways. You see,
we've got to let our brethren Republicans know that they can start thinking for themselves again.
All right. Here, and I thank you for those comments. We have gotten, as I said, frighteningly stupid. You see it in things that are misspelled constantly. People can't spell. They don't know how to count back change. They can't do simple arithmetic. I mean, this is what we have become. We've become complacent. We've become a nation of shoppers. We're inactive. We're obese. And what is smart and what... And the countries that we need to be competing with, we're really low on being very adept at math, for example, in the pantheon of countries. We're in California, the state of California, we're four from the bottom of smartness. You know, I think one state dumber than us is Mississippi. Can you believe that? We really have to get smart, or we're going to get snookered by these slick marketing campaigns endlessly. 349-1320, 866, 626-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you're listening to the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live, where we are happy to announce that Democrats, just a few moments ago at the AP reporting, wrest control of the Senate from Republicans with an upset victory in Virginia, giving the party complete domination of Capitol Hill for the first time since 1994. Yikes! Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Beverly Hills is where Arnold should stay. It's my new song. You know what? I don't know. The traffic is just as bad as it is in Beverly Hills, so what do we do? Southbound Cap City Freeway just stopped at Exhibition. Northbound 99, Elk Grove Boulevard, Florin Road, 47, Sheridan, all down southbound 99, 2 and 3 car crashes. Marconi Avenue and Fulton Avenue, we have a 2 car crash slowing things down. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
It is significant because it emphasizes democracy in action.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
Hello, citizens of the world.
Want to keep up on what's going on in your community? Go to the events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
The first step on the road back to reality.
You'll find out about political happenings, cultural events, concerts, and more.
Really? They thought of everything.
Don't just sit there. Do something and make a difference.
Make a difference. If we don't act now, it's going to be too late.
Find out how you can get involved.
And be sure to bookmark it.
The events page at 1320leftchannel.com.
Come into Mattress Discount.
New rule. Jewish people have to start... The Jewish population in America dropped 5% in the last decade, which may explain why this country's finances have gone to... Breed, you sons of Abraham, breed! We need you. Israel needs you. Kobe Bryant, Robert Blake, and Phil Spector need you. Without Jews, who's going to write all those sitcoms about blacks and Hispanics? New rule. Living in a box for 6 weeks doesn't make you a magician, it makes you homeless.
Laughing at the Truth, AM 1320. The line is forming to the left. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel.
On the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live, I am yours until 7 o'clock, 3 to 7, Mondays through Fridays. I hope you'll tell your friends, because as you've heard from some of our callers, a lot of people still don't know that we are here, and the AP, Associated Press, is projecting that the Democrats have won in Virginia. So with the control of Congress in sight, Democrats ousted Senator Conrad Burns in Montana today and led in winner-take-control Virginia. So it looks like the Democrats are going to control the Senate. And this happened so quickly. I think that this happened with breathtaking speed, and I think it really surprised. It would have had to have surprised the inside the bubble administration that hardly mingles with real people. And you know, the phrase that's being used is reality-based. You know, they think we're in a reality-based world, but they're in an ideological world. I mean, give me a break. What does this mean? 349-1320. Bill in Nevada City. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Bill.
Enid?
Yes, welcome.
I have a couple of comments, but I have a question for you that I'd like to ask after the comments.
Okay.
First of all, I saw you at our Democratic picnic, and I don't think you should put yourself down. I think you're a very attractive-looking lady in addition to the intellect which you display on this station.
Well, thank you, Bill.
And secondly, I think the stations like yours and the other America stations probably made a greater contribution to the wonderful news that we've been hearing all day long about is taking back the Senate and the House. I think Air America deserves a lot of the credit for getting the...
Sacramento's Left Channel. Left Channel. And streaming live at 1320leftchannel.com.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Democrats' midterm election victory is now complete. CBS News estimates that Democrat Jim Webb has beaten Republican incumbent George Allen in the hotly contested Virginia race, giving Democrats a total of 51 Senate seats, a majority. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has been following the congressional races and joins us live.
This was the last Senate race to be decided. It's the sixth takeover for the Democrats in the election, and as you say, it's going to give them 51 seats and control of the Senate. The Democrats will now be running both houses of Congress, certainly a serious blow to President Bush and the Republicans. On the other hand, a one-seat margin in the Senate is as slim as it gets, and though Democrats will now be in charge, getting anything done in the Senate that's closely divided is going to require bipartisan cooperation. But when it comes to committee chairmanships, hearings, and setting the agenda, it will all be in Democratic hands, Bill.
The Democrats gained 50 seats when the Montana Senate race was decided earlier today.
I'm Stephen Kaufman in Great Falls, Montana. For Democrat John Tester, it was a victory celebration worth waiting for. Almost immediately after being named the winner in Montana's tight U.S. Senate race against Republican Conrad Burns, Tester met with a noisy group of supporters.
We're going to have representation for this state, working with Senator Baucus, working with Governor Schweitzer, like this state hasn't seen in a long, long time. Thank you, folks, very much for coming out here today.
President Bush says he deliberately waited till after the election to say thanks and farewell to Donald Rumsfeld.
Your service has made America stronger and made America a safer nation.
The lightning rod Secretary of Defense will be replaced with former CIA Director Robert Gates. Rumsfeld's critics say it's high time, and many Americans seem to agree.
This is Steve Futterman in St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
Some people here were surprised to hear the news.
I don't really have an opinion one way or another. I'm just surprised.
But most people we spoke with said they're happy Rumsfeld's on his way out.
I think he's a nutcase. It's probably good for the president to get rid of him.
This woman said she's a supporter of President Bush, and if the president wants Rumsfeld out, that's fine with her.
Whatever the president decides, because I'm for Bush.
The president says he would have made the change regardless of the outcome of last night, but he acknowledges the Democrats did very well and says the Republicans took a thumping. The exiled political leader of Hamas says this ends the truce with Israel. Sirens wail in the Gaza Strip after Israeli shelling killed 18 Palestinian civilians, most of them women and children. Witnesses say some died in their beds. Israel's Mideast neighbors and the European Union condemn the attack. The Bush administration calls it on all parties to show restraint. The Israeli military says the shelling was in response to rockets being fired into Israel. On Wall Street, more gains. The Dow Industrial's up 19 points to close at 12,176. The Nasdaq gained 9 points today. This is CBS News.
You, line dancing with space aliens. Leprechauns playing hopscotch. Hot guy in the cover of a romance novel braiding your hair. Hot guy in the cover of a romance novel braiding his own hair. Genghis Khan in underwear that reads Saturday, but it's Monday. Dreams. They can be strange and magical. But if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other. Approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence. So you can get to sleep. And maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Lubox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you. Or if your insomnia doesn't improve, take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1, CRN Prevention Magazine, or visit Rosarum.com.
Unicorns, mermaids, gargoyles, dragons.
In the aftermath of the election battle, the Supreme Court heard arguments today on the emotionally charged issue of late-term abortion.
Critics labeled the procedure partial birth abortion. Solicitor General Paul Clement called it gruesome as he defended a congressional ban before the high court.
This is something that is far too close to infanticide.
An anti-abortion protester shouted at one point and was dragged away. The key issue here, whether the ban must allow medical exceptions to protect a woman's health. Justice Stephen Breyer questions Congress's claim that this procedure is never medically useful.
I see many, many, many doctors telling Congress and everybody else that it is necessary.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Washington.
Lee Boyd Malvo, John Muhammad's teenage accomplice in the Washington area sniper attacks, has been sentenced to life in prison for the murders of six people in Maryland. Malvo's already serving a life term in Virginia for the sniper shootings there. Muhammad is sentenced to death in Virginia. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
So 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. Welcome to hour four of Enid Live. More breaking news. Oh my goodness. One of the propositions that we all voted on yesterday, and I voted against it, has been blocked. A federal judge has blocked Prop 83 one day after California voters overwhelmingly passed an initiative tightening legal restrictions on registered sex offenders. A federal judge has blocked local enforcement of a provision forbidding past offenders from living within 2,000 feet of a school or park. U.S. District Judge Susan Ilston in San Francisco issued the temporary restraining order today, granting against the provision of Prop 83 at the request of a Bay Area man who pleaded no contest to a sex crime more than 15 years ago, and that's according to his lawsuit. The suit claims that Prop 83, which was approved by a vote of 70% to about 30%, would impose retroactive punishment by forcing the man to move immediately from the community where he has lived for more than 20 years. Ilston found that the plaintiff, identified only as John Doe, has shown a substantial likelihood of success in demonstrating that Prop 83 is a punitive measure that should not be imposed retroactively on people who committed sex crimes before it passed. She barred enforcement of the residency restrictions until November 27, when a hearing is scheduled before another judge on a preliminary injunction that would extend the ban. This order applies only in San Francisco, Alameda, Marin, and Sonoma counties, whose district attorneys were named as defendants, along with Schwartzy and State Attorney General Bill Lockyer. But Dennis Rudin, a lawyer for the plaintiff, said the restraining order serves notice on law enforcement officers anywhere in California that they should not enforce the residency restrictions until at least November 27. Now, you know, in advance of Prop 83, we had a lot of probation, parole people, law enforcement people saying this was Prop 83 is a bad idea. I voted against Prop 83. Here's a guy who committed a sex crime, 15 or 20 years ago. He's been living in this neighborhood for all these years. He's been fine. And now he would be forced to move because of this law. So they're saying they don't want it applied retroactively. If you have committed this crime before the passage of this law, then you should be exempt from having to move. Also, the other breaking news story, if you were just joining us, is that the Associated Press, CBS News, all are projecting Virginia having gone Democratic in terms of its senator. So it looks like the Democrats have made a real sweep. Nothing like this has been seen in more than a couple of decades. The Democrats have taken control of both the House and the Senate. I think this is a stunning and stinging rebuke to this administration. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Ken in Orangevale, hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Ken.
Hey, how's it going? Actually, NBC News just came out and said it's done. It's not even a projection that that Allen's going to come out and concede real quick. It's done. We got it.
Well, isn't that nice? And dancing in the streets, I hope.
Here's the biggest thing. We got the Supreme Court. I mean, we can block anything that comes up from Bush at this point. So,
No, we don't have the Supreme Court. Where do we have the Supreme Court? The Supreme Court is the poison pill, the smart bomb that's going to be ticking for decades. It's a conservative court right now.
They can't pack it with any more people, though, that they've been throwing there.
Well, they've already packed it with enough so that it could make a big difference.
It will, and that still is an issue, but my big fear was that if the Senate was staying in the Republican hands, they can continue to stack it and make it even worse. At least at this point, it's damage control, but at least it's controllable.
What do you think? Are you still running off to Canada, or are you going to stick around for a while?
Well, no, I'm still giving it serious consideration because work up there is great for what my wife does, but it takes a lot off. I mean, my biggest thing having daughters was their right to their bodies. My biggest fear was that they were going to lose their rights, and now at least I can look at them and think, okay, things might actually work out. That was my biggest
worry. Well, if the Democrats, but you know how horrible the Democrats can be. It's good news. It's good news, bad news. God, we got it out of the control of the Republican. Oh, but my God, the Democrats.
You know, hey, look,
I hope they can figure it out.
I'm happy we won, but, you know, something, if these guys start getting, you know, wishy-washy on us, then, you know, it's time to keep the fire going under them as well. I mean, I love the Democrats, but they're politicians too.
They are, and the moment you get into office, you got to start dialing for dollars. You have to raise $70,000 a day. Ken, I thank you for the call. 349-1320. 2866 626 1320. We've been talking a lot of politics today. We've been talking about Rush Limbaugh admitting that he's been lying to his listeners. He says, now I don't have to carry water for people that I think don't deserve to have their water carried. So, you know, he sounds like a urine sample bottle is what he sounds like. He's been having to pee into a bottle for the next couple of years, and really, sometimes I think he's drinking it. He is admitting that he's not always telling the truth in order to bolster the Republican side of the aisle. We like to tell the truth around here. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. So here is Cindy Sheehan. She was arrested in Washington as she led about 50 protesters to a White House gate to deliver anti-war petitions. She said were signed by 80,000 Americans. So that's it. Hauling her off to the pokey for the moment. And the big news, two big pieces of news. If you are just joining us, a San Francisco federal judge has blocked a provision in Prop 83 that was just passed only yesterday, and there's a further hearing on November the 27th. So that's in play. That's up in the air right now. Democrats have taken the Senate. Jim Webb has won a Senate race in Virginia, which gives control of the U.S. Senate, at least nominally, to the Democratic Party. So everybody's saying that it's a Democratic win in Virginia. We hope that that actually winds up being true. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. The huge news today is that a lot of people are on the way out of town. Among them, Rumsfeld is on his way out, stepping down and out of town. Pombo on his way out of town. Maybe Cheney will be next. We don't know, but we're hoping. It's been quite a ride. And some of our favorite candidates have won, and one of our favorite candidates didn't, but it's a squeaker. So next time, I think for Charlie Brown, Deborah Bowen has won, Garamendi has won, John Chang has won, Jerry Brown has won, and so on. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Benjamin and Antelope, hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid, it's me again. Nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say that I think one of the biggest things that's going to happen with the Democrats finally getting control, thank God, is that, you know, well, I think we're probably going to be able to put the brakes on the Bush administration playing fast and loose with civil liberties. I unfortunately don't think that it's going to make much of a dent in the Iraq war because, you know, we've seen over the past 6 years that, you know, Bush is not really afraid to use his executive privilege, and it's obvious that him and Cheney don't really give a darn what anyone thinks about them.
Well, I'm looking at reports that say the world sees this as a rebuke about our stance in Iraq. They see the election as, so maybe we win back some goodwill, and maybe we start investigating Bush and Cheney and that whole administration for what they have done wrong and the rampant corruption that has occurred. The lies, what about the lies that were told en route to the war, to sell the war to the American people? What about all of that?
I just hope to God that the Democrats have enough guts to finally give him what he deserves, which I think is an impeachment. And, you know, because I don't think that...
Yeah, but if you have an impeachment, I'm not so sure that's the answer. You have an impeachment. Who have you got? Dick Cheney stepping up to the plate? Where is that a plus?
Well, I mean, he's just as culpable, if not more culpable.
Well, there you go. You have to impeach both of them. And then Nancy... But maybe, you know, somebody else suggested the idea that if we do enough investigations and it's so damaging, they'll just resign and then they'll just, you know, we'll usher them out of town. Everybody's stepping down. Everybody's getting out of town now, and maybe they will join the hordes. Benjamin, I thank you. 349-1320. I want to add this to the conversation. It might be okay now to swear on a news show, but profanities and other programs are still forbidden, and this is according to the FCC. It just made this announcement. The FCC reversed a ruling it had made on the use of the word, I can't say the whole word, but I will say this much of it, a BSer, but it was actually said in full. So the word BSer said in full on a CBS program, the early show, was initially ruled indecent, but that decision has been was particularly controversial because the news shows traditionally have wide leeway on language. The incident involved a live 2004 interview with a contestant on the CBS program Survivor, Vanuatu, who had used the word to describe a fellow contestant. But this week, the FCC said it was deferring to a plausible characterization by the network that the incident was a news interview, which merits a higher standard for indecency violations. I'm laughing up my sleeve because, let me tell you, there's so many indecent things that happen from this administration, from the fake war in Iraq, every kind of rage, indecency. All you have to do is turn on cable TV and you can see anything you want to see. I mean, adult entertainment, you call it what you want to call it. It's there. And we are so quaint that on the over-the-air networks, we're not allowed to say certain words. And there are some words that, you know, I'm a great practitioner and appreciator of salty language. I love it. There's nothing that's quite says it like the salty comment. Now, it happens that if all you use is salty language, you have no imagination. But as a condiment to your conversation, I think it can perk things up. Well, here's the FCC. The FCC went to town because Janet Jackson, if you will recall, demonstrated what was widely referred to as a wardrobe malfunction in which you could see nothing whatsoever at the Super Bowl, and using that as a basis and using the Republicans and the faith-based community as fuel. They went to town, and they imposed enormous fines on broadcasters if anything indecent went out over the air. But they have never spelled out what the indecency consists of. It's not the seven words that George Carlin has talked about. And here is the FCC backtracking on two charges of indecency. One, occurring in a news show so that you could call it a news interview. And so I guess it skates by on that one. The agency, the FCC, also rejected a complaint about coarse language on several episodes of ABC's now-defunct NYPD Blue, but did so on a technicality because this complaint was made against a TV station by a viewer outside the market. And in fact, the complaint was made by one of these right-wing religious groups that, first of all, was made by a viewer who was outside that market. Sometimes it's a copycat complaint. These groups make the complaints, and then they make it look like there are 50 million people, but really there was only one complaint, and it was by that group, and it might not have even really been by that group. So it's a kind of manipulation of the system. And the whole manipulation of the system has been to further reduce what we are able to see. The beauty of a democracy is if you don't like it, if you think it's a little bit too raunchy for you, if the material is too blue, you know what? That's why God invented the on-off switch. Don't listen to it. But don't start legislating for everybody in the universe what they can listen to, what they can watch. And this quaintness about not allowing the BSer word in its full, rich, full-throated, vibrant entirety on TV or radio is too bad. Because, first of all, I mean, it is so nothing a word now. It is so used by everybody on every occasion, including by Bob Mulholland with us last night. We had to dump that part out lest we all get fined $325,000 and be hauled off to the FCC pokey. And God bless Bob Mulholland. He's hilarious, but he's a pro and he should know better. So that's a little bit of the behind the scenes of what went on last night. So here is the FCC. These words that we can't use. You know, Sting used that word. I thought it was great. People say far worse than that, but we are so prissy. I'd love for you to comment on that. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. Here are the obscenities that people can't add. They can't subtract. They graduate from high school and can't read their diplomas. That they are sent off to a war that is a complete BS war, and we'd love to say it in the fullness of that fancy phrase, that was sold to us on a pack of BS lies, and so on. 349-1320, these are the obscenities. The use of this language is not nearly as obscene as what this administration was trying to shove down our throats. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday Dancing in the Streets post-election edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's left channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Oh, thank you very much, Enid. Well, we have lows tonight right around 45. Hopefully we're not going to see some rain tomorrow, but highs near 75. Our traffic slowed down southbound 99 right by Fruit Ridge Road. Fair Oaks Boulevard at Elson and Watt Avenue, just south of Poplar. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Keeping the metal to the pedal. It's Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
I wanted it all. Intelligence, great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Halls Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
At Cache Creek Casino Resort, win fast, win often with Cash Fever Jackpot. Jackpots start at $20,000 and are guaranteed to hit by $30,000. Every time a Cash Fever Jackpot hits, a Cash Club player wins just for playing with their card. Plus, you can check the Cash Fever Jackpot total and your Cash Club points online now at CashCreek.com. So join Cash Club today and get the fever. Cache Creek Casino Resort.
Hey, listen up. What about your future? Are you unhappy with your current job? Want to make great money and get the promotion you deserve? Now's the time. Explore your options. Log on to sackjobs.com and post your resume today. That's sackjobs.com. Post your resume and have local employers find you now. New companies being added each day and hundreds of jobs being added each week. So if you're in the market for a job, sackjobs.com is a click away. At sackjobs.com, you're on your way to a better day.
Talk to Enid now,
643 on the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live. We are celebrating and we're dancing in the streets here. And CBS is reporting that Democrats have a 6-seat gain in the Senate for a 51-49 seat edge. In other words, Dick Cheney doesn't decide the tie. And in the House, the Democratic gain is 28 seats, and then the state houses it is 6 seats. So we're looking at that information, and CBS News estimates that former Navy Secretary James Webb has won the Senate race in Virginia, defeating Republican incumbent George Allen. So that gives Democrats the edge in that race. So we are just thrilled about that. And what we're talking about right now, adding to the conversation, we're talking about the FCC. And it's reversed a couple of fines that it made in the case of using the BSer word on a CBS program that was a news program. So they've reversed themselves on that because news shows get some greater leeway than other shows. And on a technicality, there was some raunchy language used
on NYPD Blue, but the complaint was made against a TV station by a viewer outside of its market, so it really didn't count. But this prissiness about not allowing some good, salty language over our airwaves when there is so much other obscenity going on is, to me, amazing. I don't know why we hang on to that fustiness, that quaint thing that we're paying lip service to. Believe me, when you are driving on the freeway and somebody cuts you off, there is a there are a lot of birds being flipped right then and there. 3-4-9-13-20, there are a lot of language. You go in somewhere, you hear it on airplanes, you hear it in all kinds of public spaces. People are talking in their cell phones. You hear every raunchy thing in the world. You can see it all over cable television, but God forbid you should utter the BS word, as Bob Mulholland did so charmingly on our program last night, Democratic strategist and operative. And, you know, at $325,000, Curtis, that the FCC will fine us. 3-4-9-13-20. Eric in Fair Oaks. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Eric.
Hey, you know, it's funny you should bring this up, because I have a beautiful 11-year-old daughter named Zoe, and we were talking about this very thing yesterday. And she said, Daddy, why is it that some words are considered bad and some words aren't? And I said, it's all relative. I said, some people have a greater sensitivity. I said, that's why we teach you not to use this liberally outside our house. And I told her about Dick Cheney on the floor of the U.S. House at a photo op when he told Senator Patrick Leahy to perform an anatomically impossible act.
Upon himself.
Yeah, and I said that, you know, we were kind of laughing about it. And I said that, you know, the FCC should probably, if this were broadcast, they would be putting Dick Cheney away for life.
Oh, all we have to do is get Dick Cheney to say it on the air. He'll really only be fined $325,000.
Yeah, which is chump change for him.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
But, you know, we were talking seriously as a family about it, and we decided that, you know, it's what my friend George says, you should participate decently. So if you know that someone is easily offended by something and you know them personally, you're kind of gentle with it. And I have no problem with salty language.
Absolutely. Listen, you know, there's something nice. We have come into a universe where nobody has to dress for any event anymore. You see people of your mom and dad's generation and even grandparents' generation who go to the theater in sweats, if you can believe that. So, but, you know, it's nice to make an occasion. Now that we're in a universe where nobody has to ever dress for anything, there's still something nice about making an occasion of something and putting some creative clothing together. And that also goes for behavior.
Yeah.
We're in a universe where everybody can let it all hang out, and we do. But, you know, when you are with people, when you're in a more formal setting, or when you're with people who are sort of fancier, and you're invited to some rather nice thing, you don't go like a pig. Talking like a pig. Start to put on a set of manners to honor the occasion and to honor your hosts and to honor the event. And, you know, we've lost sight of all of this stuff. It's like one size fits all. It sweats all the time. And the sweats all the time goes into our language. Now, here I'm sort of arguing against myself, because I'm arguing in favor, really, of salty language. But I'm also arguing in favor of sense of place and the brains to know when to use that language and when not to use it.
I was at Starbucks a few weeks ago. And it was a group of about, in Gold River, a group of about 7 or 8 young guys, and every other word was the F-bomb. And I'm thinking, it has no impact anymore. It's like you were talking about the exquisiteness of salty language, and it does have an exquisite flavor of its own, but you know when to use it. You don't just, you know,
I'll tell you where they're manufacturing F-bombs in huge quantities. Go to any comedy club, and that's what most comedians rely on. The material, they laugh at it like they never heard that word before. Well, you can hear it every 2 seconds, and you don't have to pay the cover charge at a comedy club to hear it. And usually the material's not even that funny, but every time they drop an F-bomb, everybody laughs.
Yeah, I think our level of public discourse has gotten kind of downhill over the last few years.
Yeah, kind of like our administration, too, I think.
For me to call you, I had to calm down. I've been doing the yippee skippy dance all day. I had to, like, calm down. I'm going to call Enid. I've got to stop dancing, although I'm sad for our friend Bill Durston. But
we're sad for Bill Durston. We're sad for Charlie Brown.
But you know what? Other than those two wonderful guys, I've been doing the yippee skippy dance all day long.
Well, yippee skippy to you, too, Eric, and we thank you for the call. 3-4-9-13-20, Carrie in Stockton. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1320. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I love that your last caller. I've been doing the skippy dance all day long as well.
Have you?
I'm one happy liberal. I'm running ear to ear. It's like my cheeks hurt.
Oh, you know what? I bet you the sales of antidepressants have gone down substantially today. What do you think?
Yeah, I totally agree. I just, you know, after being so humdrum and not expecting anything, because, you know, the last few election cycles, I'm like, I'm not going to expect anything. And then, lo and behold, it was just like, oh, my gosh. So, anyway, but calling about the FCC, I mean, I can appreciate salty language, and I'm a total diehard liberal, and I think we're way too prissy on so many things, but I have to bring that, you know, parent perspective, and I do now have different concerns. And you know, after 8 o'clock on TV, not an issue. You know,
How old are your kids?
I have 5-year-old triplets and a 7-year-old. So.
Well, if they're not getting it on television, they're going to get it in school with their friends.
Well, this is true. This
and
is
they
true.
Probably, and when you and your husband are having rather vibrant conversations, they'll pick
well,
up a little.
I have the same sex partner, but
okay.
My partner and I are, but yeah, you know, the thing is.
They're going to pick it up. They're going to pick up a little of it at home, too, don't you think?
Nope.
No? You never used, you and your partner, do never use bad language ever?
No, we try not to do that in front of the kids. And you know, the thing is, I mean, when they're older, like the last car 11-year-old, you know, you can start having those conversations. And but till 5 and 7, if I'm watching, like, the Today Show, for instance, and I'm not expecting things like that, I don't have to worry about screening that for my kids. You know, like I said, if it's after 8, then that's on me. But if, you know, during the day listening to something or something on the radio that is not, you know, saucy, you know, I should be able to listen to it and not all of a sudden that get slammed. Because if I know it's coming, I'll turn it off. But if I don't know what's coming...
Well, are your kids likely at 5 and 7 to be watching a news show?
No, but I will be traveling on the radio listening to sometimes program depending on what's being discussed or NPR and you know, the Today Show or like the Survivor incident for instance is a good example of something that might be on the background in the morning that our kids might be there and then something, you know, I don't think that's a really intense word that I'd have to worry about, but there may be something else that comes up. So there are certain needs for those type of limitations is my point. And other times we're way too, you know, freaked out about, like the whole Janet Jackson thing. I don't have a problem with my kids seeing a human breast. That's part of the human body. I think that's prissy. Now, the way in which that one was done, where it was done by a man ripped off, I do have a problem with that image. But, you know, I do think we're prissy. But there are needs, as a parent, there are needs for those certain alerts and knowing when it's safe to have your kids around and what is safe.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. I certainly understand what you're saying. Let me play devil's advocate for a moment. Do you also have cable? Do they have access to some of the raunchy language on cable where it is not regulated in the same way by the FCC?
Yeah, but see, we're very specific. Like, we don't even let our kids watch commercials because of the consumption issue and, you know, gender stereotyping. So we're very particular.
Oh, well, that's good. All right. I think too much TV is used as babysitting.
Responsibility.
All right.
You know, part of it's my responsibility to take that on. But those issues were like, I think, this is a benign program that I can trust. Nothing's going to come on. There has to be those moments where I can feel safe.
Well, one final devil's advocate question.
One more.
If they hear it at home and understand, they're going to eventually, they're going to hear it somewhere in the streets, in the schoolrooms, everywhere. And if they learn how, but if they learn
a lot more than we think,
right? And if they learn how to handle it, the tools at home to handle it, is that a plus? Do you think instead of kind of being blindsided by some of this stuff?
Well, I think I can definitely teach the tools, and we can learn they can learn the tools at home without us having them assaulted with it per se. They don't have to live the experience to learn how to deal with it.
I'm going to give you my mother's remedy, which I just did a few days ago.
For
when I came home from school and I saw people, you know, I saw kids giving each other the finger, you know, flipping each other off, but I didn't know what it meant. So I came home from school and I said to my mother, "What does this mean?" And I gave her the finger, and she said, "You have the wrong finger." she said, "It's your forefinger." She gave me some BS, you know, meaning of it. So I went around flipping people off, but they didn't even know I was flipping them off because it was the wrong finger. So you know what? You got to be creative if you're a parent, Carrie.
Yeah, you do. Well, it's interesting to demonstrate your point. My son just recently, my partner was driving a car ahead of me, and I did something. They flipped me off, but they couldn't see behind me the kids in the car, and I said, "Oh," and I laughed, and he said, "What?" And I said, "Well, Mama just did something to me with her hand," and he said, "Did she flip her middle finger up?" And I went, What do you mean? What do you mean? Hear that? You know, I couldn't believe my 7-year-old knew what that was.
They know.
And he said my older cousin, it was a cousin of his who was older. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So you're right. You cannot.
You cannot
forever.
Protect them. You cannot. Yeah. They are already hearing it. They're already hearing it from their older cousins who always seem more seductive
right.
and inviting and mysterious because they're older kids and they sort of know the lay of the land. But Carrie, I thank you.
A good topic.
Yeah, I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320-866. 626-1320. What we're talking about is the FCC. It has rescinded a couple of charges of indecency, and it strikes me that we're so prissy about what we call an obscenity. I mean, the real obscenities are what we have seen emanating from this administration, people losing their lives for a trumped-up war, a war based on lies, and the corruption, the dishonesty. Those, I think, are hugely obscene and with hugely obscene consequences. 349-1320. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Our traffic is as normal, though southbound 99 is a little slow there. All the way down, actually, 47th, Elk Grove, Sheldon. Northbound I-5 just south of Twin Cities Road. It looks like we have a two-car crash over there. And Sunrise Boulevard just north of Winding Way the same. Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
She's not right, but she's never wrong.
Yeah.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
The crisp.
New rule, stop whining about gas prices. It's good that it costs a lot, and not just because the sales tax will help pay for our twice-a-year governor elections. It's also good if it makes you think of walking the 3 blocks from your house to Del Taco instead of taking the Land Cruiser. Gasoline costs a lot because we have to find it, bribe or kill the people who live on top of it. Extract it, refine it, ship it, and pump it. You'll pay $2 a gallon, and you'll like it because you know what the alternative is, riding on the bus with poor people. New rule, call things what they are. If your morning coffee contains crushed ice, whipped cream, and caramel, it's a milkshake.
Laughing at the truth, AM 1320.
I wanted it all. Intelligence. Great looks, physical strength, inner beauty, even social consciousness. Friends said that I wanted too much, but I wouldn't settle. And now, I have it all.
This woman is talking about her Renewal by Anderson replacement windows from Hall's Window Center. If it looks better, lasts longer, and outperforms the competition, it's gotta be Anderson. The only windows and doors to receive Green Seal certification for energy efficiency and environmentally friendly manufacturing. Now you too can have it all. For a limited time, get 7 Renewal by Anderson windows and 1 Anderson PermaShield patio door from Hall's Window Center for just $69.95. Left Channel listeners save an extra $150. Go to HallsWindowCenter.com. Click on the green seal for your coupon. Visit Hall's Window Center today on Business Park Drive in Sacramento and now in Roseville on Roseville Parkway next to BJ's. Call 1-800-76-HALLS. Smud financing available. Some restrictions apply. Offer ends September 30th.
The Morning Retort with Scott and Sim.
To understand it.
Mitt Romney.
What drives people?
Massachusetts governor. If he can't protect his own citizens from tunnels, how will he protect you from terrorists? Done. Campaign is dead. See how easy it was?
It was that easy.
See, that's the problem on the left. You're the problem right there. You think you got all the answers to all the little questions that does not drive a lot of people outside of California, outside of both coasts, outside of California and New York. Northeast. I mean, this is not the world. This is not
Romney
the center of the universe, Mr. Sims.
Mitt Romney gets the nomination. The tunnels win. Think about it. Tourists, Terra, Earth, tunnels.
Do the math, Scott!
It's very erotic. I'm being turned on by all this talk.
Scott and Sims, mornings 5:30 to 9 on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Miss a little, miss a lot. Stay with Enid on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
Wednesday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 7, 3 to 7 weekdays on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel. We're talking about the FCC being so quaint about imposing fines and now backtracking on a couple of them for words that it deems obscene. You never know quite what is supposed to be obscene. I mean, some things are obvious that you're not supposed to say on the air, and other things are not very obvious at all. And then they bulked up the fine to about $325,000, and it seems to me what's really obscene never gets labeled obscene, and that is what has been coming out of this administration. 349-1320, Margie in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Margie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Where were you last night?
I didn't get out till 9:30, and I actually drove up there, but about halfway there, I heard you saying you're going to close down shop at 10 o'clock, and it was already 9:37.
Oh, okay.
So I turned around and went back.
Thought you were going to help us out tomorrow. That was all right, though.
I know, but I really missed a good show. I'm so sorry. I wanted to comment on the obscenities, and I want to say that I personally say that any words that demean or make other people feel ugly, those are obscenities. And so the N-word that we have Mr. Allen using with great liberality, that's really an ugly thing to do to other people, and that's about as obscene as you can get. And that's the words that come out of people's mouths that really bother me are those words that are used in a demeaning way to apply to other people and other ethnic groups. And I also think that Bush's habit of giving people nicknames, hey, Stretch, how are you, to a grown man who is a professional, I think that's an obscenity.
Well, it's a power trip.
It's a power trip, and power trips are obscenities, too.
Well, but he's the president of the United States, and he thinks he's being chummy and friendly and frat boy and cheerleader-like. But
no, I think I think he's a bully, and I think he just doesn't know any other way to behave. Okay, another thing I was going to tell you, though, is that I created a website a couple of months ago, and it's called www.ourgoodname.com, and there's no spaces or anything. And it refers to that Democrat Party crap. Because, see, crap is probably a bad word, too, but I don't
Well,
know.
I think it's a substitute for the other one.
Yeah, but
it's in honor of the guy who invented the flush toilet, whose name was Thomas Crapp, C-R-A-P-P-E, as a matter of fact.
Well, so my website is all about that whole process, which is a Republican process that I believe started somewhere around the McCarthy era, to make the Democratic Party take away the perfectly good word, which is Democrat.
I think it's only happened recently. I have only heard it in the last couple of few years, Margie. Maybe you've heard it before that.
Yes, it was very common in the McCarthy era, and it was intended to make the Democrats smell and look bad. And people stopped using it, I think, to a large degree, although there were always some Southern Democrats that would say it. And it was always intentional, and it was always meant to take away the good use of the word democratic, which is a lovely word and has a great deal of very, very honorable meaning.
All right. Now, when Dickey had his press conference this morning, and he said he's going to try and work with the Democrats, and I think Nancy Pelosi is coming to lunch, and I hope he's not having her for lunch. Maybe she'll have him for lunch.
Right.
The thought was, if you really want to work with Democrats, start using the language properly and call it a Democratic whatever. And I think that editors, you know, you went to the University of Chicago, so look in the University of Chicago style manual, which a lot of media outlets use, like the AP and so forth, I think.
I will check that out.
And I want to see what the usage is, but I think that we've got to agitate, because I think it demeans Democrats when they refer, they don't say republics, they call them Republicans.
Well, my mother used to say publican. See, she was really irritated way back then, and my mother, I'm 62, my mother is no longer with us, and so that goes way back. But what's happened is this last bunch of Republicans is an uglier than most bunch of people, and they've picked it up because they can get away with it. And on my website, there's two really wonderful articles. One is Media Matters had an article that talks about where it came from, and also Hendrik Hertzberg in the New Yorker magazine had a great article called The Ick Factor. In other words, if you leave off the ick, it's a different word.
Democrat and Democratic. Yes. You're absolutely
Democrat
right.
It's a good word. It's just a noun. So you are a Democrat, I am a Democrat, Kerry is a Democrat. But Democratic is the adjective. So anytime you're using, so I just pretty much can look at people and say, did you not learn grammar? Is that what's happening here? Or are you trying to be insulting? I mean, I don't actually say that, but that's what I say.
Well, I think it has to be corrected in a mainstream way. It has to be corrected in the newspapers, and it has to be corrected in broadcast as well.
And that's what my website's about. And what I do is if I see it misused, and I've done this. I don't do it every second. I mean, because I really haven't gone to this website for a while because I just really did it because I was so mad I was spitting. And you'll see Democrats doing it, too. And I'll stop Democrats and say, don't do that to our name. But
because they've let Republicans define
Let Republicans define us, yes. And okay. I hate that.
Margie, we thank you.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. 349-1320, Larry in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Larry.
Hello.
Welcome.
I'd like to take a minute. When this thing first came up with the Janet Jackson deal and then fines being levied at left and right, I looked up what the FCC was made up of. And a lot of people don't realize, and I think it would be interesting to let the people that are listening know, that it's only five people making these decisions for the entire country. And they're made up of three Republicans, or excuse me, five people, two of one party and three of another max at any one time. But unfortunately right now what we have are five people that have been appointed by Bush, even though they may have Democratic leanings perhaps. So that is very disappointing to know that the entire country has to live by the whim of five people.
Forgive me, I didn't hear some of what you said. You're talking about the Supreme Court?
No, I'm talking about...
Oh, the FCC. It's a Republican-dominated FCC. I don't know at what point it gets to change now. Well, it doesn't, because it has nothing to do with the Congress and the Senate, I think. So it doesn't change until the administration changes. And right now it's dominated by Republicans. And right now, one of the more obscene things that the FCC is going to be involved with is further media consolidation. So, you know, everybody quibbles about this language that we should or shouldn't use, but the media consolidation is a huge thing. And we're feeling it in a ever more acute ways. The example that's given there was a town in North or South Dakota where there was a chemical spill, and all the radio stations were one ownership, which I think was Clear Channel, and all of them were automated. So there was no way to put out a message warning the population that there was this chemical spill and they should stay away from this area and don't breathe the air and stay inside or go outside or whatever the directions were to. So you have that. And look at everybody talks about the liberal media, the drive-by media. Rush is always talking about that. But most of the media is consolidated. It's interested in turning a profit. It's interested in not alienating its dwindling number of readers if you're a newspaper. And so you're not sure you're always getting the kind of scoop you ought to be getting on information, you know, on stories.
Right. And it's the same thing.
And if they let them own TV stations and newspapers and radio stations in the hands of just a couple of people, I mean, this is not good for a democracy.
Right. And we watch movies and TV movies and the TV programs about it all the time. And we think, oh, that could never happen in real life. You know, and these conspiracy theories that we're accused of wearing tinfoil hats and talking about all the time. It's real-life stuff, the stuff that goes on in movies like The Pelican Brief. I believe that's happened probably many times. We just don't know about it.
Well, I haven't seen the Pelican Brief, Larry, so I really can't discuss it, but I do thank you for the call. 349-1320, 866, 620, 61320. I think I read the book a long time ago, though. Sandra in Sacramento. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Sandra.
Hey, listen, you know that whole Democrat thing is something that Tom DeLay sort of, he didn't coin, but he got it from some other pundit or consultant.
Now, Sandra, don't get mad at me. I'm going to say pundit. There's no N in it at the end. It's a D-I-T, pundit. But
okay,
everybody is saying, well, as they're busy saying Democrat, they're also saying pundit, but it's got no N in the second syllable.
Well, it's related to rat, because it sounds like a rat, Democrat.
Yeah, it does.
Right.
It sounds like a rat.
And that's what they want you to think, not Democratic. They want you to think in terms of rat. So it's sort of been put out there to sort of demean the Democratic Party. So I agree with you. I think that it should be pointed out and they should stop. Especially Bush, if he thinks he's going to work with Democrats, you know what I mean?
Well, if he's going to work with them, then I think he's got to learn how to say it properly. But he can't master nuclear.
But the main reason why I called is,
yes,
is the fact that the way the media is now, all of a sudden the Democrats need to be conciliatory and work. You know, have you been hearing that spin? They need to work with everyone now. And I mean,
what, that the Republicans are saying we all have to work together?
Yeah, and it's just sort of like, you got to be kidding me.
We're in charge now. We're going to investigate you.
Oh, my God, that's what I want to hear. I don't care about impeachment per se, but these people need to be investigated because, like, that billions of dollars just disappear. I want to know what happened to it, you know?
I would, too. I think we all would like to know. Sandra, I thank you. I thank you very much for the call. 349-1320, 866-626-1320. We're talking about the FCC rescinding a couple of indecency fines because in one case there was a technicality, in another case it was the BSer word in Full Throttle, and that was used on a news show, and news shows have a little bit of greater leeway. But I'm just struck by the prissiness of us regulating some of this language when in daily life you encounter so much obscenity in so many different forms, whether it's coming from this administration with a trumped-up war, or whether it's road rage or cell phone rage or the bad language that you can hear people, you know, when they're talking on their cell phones. And you hear these conversations you were never supposed to hear. But if you love eavesdropping, I think eavesdropping is a highly underrated activity. Because if you are sort of a novelist's imagination, it used to be fun to sort of eavesdrop in restaurants and hear a conversation across the way. And now you don't even have to try. It takes no skills whatsoever to eavesdrop on anybody because everybody's screaming into their cell phones. And you hear way more than you want to hear. And the whole thing has gotten really annoying. But it's still sort of fascinating in a very weird way. I'm Enid Goldstein, and you are listening to the Wednesday post-election edition of Enid Live on AM 1320 Sacramento's Left Channel. Time now to check traffic and weather together from the left with Lisa West.
Thank you very much. Our traffic still slow over there, southbound 99 Fair Oaks Boulevard at Elson, Sunrise Boulevard just north of Winding Way, and southbound 99 just north of Elk Grove Boulevard. All pretty slow, but it looks like it's speeding up a little bit. Lows tonight, 45. We're going to see highs tomorrow, maybe near 75. And Enid Live will continue at AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
While they're slinging mud, we're slinging the truth.
Perhaps you should keep that in mind before making sensationalist claims.
Enid Live on AM 1320, Sacramento's Left Channel.
How would you like play perfectly?
I just joined Cash Creek's Cash Club and I received $100 in free bonus play.
Play profitably.
I just joined Cash Club and automatically got an instant shot at $1 million.
Play endlessly.
Cash Creek has thousands of the newest, hottest slots, and bonus play just keeps the action going.
Play bonusfully at Cash Creek, Northern California's only AAA four diamond casino resort. Just join the Cash Club and you can start out with up to $500 in free bonus play. It's like playing with their money. Well, not like it. You really are playing with their money. Plus, don't forget the instant shot at $1 million. And you can't play on an empty stomach, so they're giving away over 150 $25 dining comps every day. So you can play and dine on their dollar. Cash Creek Casino Resort. Well played. Visit by taking I-80 to 505 North and 16 West. For tickets, visit cashcreek.com or any Ticketmaster outlet.
Enid now, 349-1320.
On the Wednesday, we're dancing and yippee-skippy in the streets on a Democratic win, and we hope it all works out as brilliantly as we are praying for. One of the things that we announced today, first of all, Prop 83 is on hold, at least in the Bay Area, certain counties in the Bay Area, and that was something that was just passed yesterday, and that's to do with sex offenders having not being able to live and being having to wear electronic monitors for the rest of their lives, by the way. But you can't live close to 2,000 feet from a school. problem there. Somebody who's suing, who committed some sort of a sexual offense, I don't know, 20 years ago or so, and he's been living for 20 years in this neighborhood, and he doesn't want to move, and so federal judges put the whole thing on hold for the moment. And one of the other things that a breaking news story is that the race in Virginia, which was Senator Mikakowicz against James Webb, it looks like everybody's projecting that Webb is the winner. So the Democrat is the winner, and the spread of votes is something like 7,000 or 8,000 votes, what I saw earlier. Well, I just got this from Ed, from one of you. Ed emails me the following, and listen to this. This is very interesting. Enid, he says, it's my understanding that Virginia voted exclusively touchscreen without a paper trail. A recount will only be a reaffirmation of the previous vote. 2 years ago, in the Attorney General's race, a recount was ordered with a few couple of hundred vote differences in the two candidates. The result was a 37-vote gain in the recount. Blackboxvoting.org, and we had Bev Harris on with us yesterday, if you were with us in our formal election coverage, and lawyers are in Virginia to see that voting machines are not tampered with or changed. It is ironic that the Republicans or neocons or the conservatives are going to lose the Senate because they refused to have a verifiable vote in states like Virginia. So anyway, everybody's projecting that Virginia has gone to the Democrats. We've been talking a lot about the election today. Hastert Time Magazine is reporting that Dennis Hastert's going to step down. The speaker bows out of the Republican leadership after Democrats take power. The contest to succeed him will help define the Republican Party in a new area of divided government. This is really interesting because Hastert knew all about Foley, and he knew all about it way before he pretended to say that he knew about it. And they wanted to keep him in because they thought his presence was critical to the midterm elections. Well, it didn't help. So, you know, like Rush, he pimped himself out one too many times, and that's the end of it for Hastert, at least for the moment. But, you know, Hastert's fat bank account got fatter because he was worth about $300,000 when he took office. He's now worth in the neighborhood of $6 million. According to the Chicago papers, according to the New Yorker magazine, he's worth about $6 million because land that he owned, he was able to put earmarks surrounding all kinds of stuff with that land, and it made it immensely more valuable, and suddenly it fattened his own bank account. This one of you just sent me, and this is a letter, I guess, that Charlie Brown is sending out to his supporters, and we want to congratulate people like Bill Durston and Charlie Brown for running really wonderful campaigns, making a huge amount of progress. Charlie almost made it, but he'll make it the next time. I hope he runs again. And we want to congratulate Phil Angelides, who says he might run again for something. It can't have been easy. And he should have been the governor, and it's a campaign that never got the traction it should have gotten. It was not a very well-run campaign, though I think he would have been a good governor. My thought about that. He did get 74% of Democrats. This is now from Charlie Brown. This is a letter that he's sending out to people. He said, I want to thank you. I want to say thank you to each and every person who worked so hard this past year in our campaign. He said, your tremendous effort took us so close to victory last night. We fell 3.5 percentage points shy in a three-way race. A lot of people now who couldn't bring themselves to vote for Doolittle, but also could not bring themselves to vote for Charlie Brown, voted for the Libertarian candidate. But our campaign has changed the 4th Congressional District forever. I called my opponent, John Doolittle. Oh, I would have loved to listen in on that conversation. To congratulate him last night, Congressman Doolittle won the most votes, but our strong showing has proven that he was wrong about one very important point. He says that the 4th District is part of red California. We showed that our towns and communities are part of a red, white, and blue California. You did that, and I am deeply honored that I was able to work with you in this effort. He talks now about spending time with his